Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. The radical group Hamas has a stranglehold on Gaza now, ruling roughly half of the Palestinian territories. And CBS's Robert Berger says it's already gotten more ugly.
It's time for revenge on the streets of Gaza. Hamas has taken control, and now it's settling scores. Fatah men have been executed on the streets. One Fatah leader was dragged through the streets of a refugee camp.
The coming days are nervous-making. Hamas has declared this the beginning of an Islamic State. Middle East expert Michael Oren.
Certainly if Hamas takes over the Palestinian Authority completely in Gaza and then proceeds to use the Gaza Strip as a launching pad for attacks into Israel, Israel would then be compelled to respond to those attacks. The fighting could then spread to the West Bank, from the West Bank to southern Lebanon, and then perhaps to Syria and Iran as well.
The latest comes from Nablus in the West Bank. A Hamas militant was killed by Fatah gunmen there, though whether it is a sign that the Gaza violence is moving into the West Bank already is not clear. The legislature in Massachusetts failed by 5 votes to give the people a chance to vote on a state constitutional marriage amendment, which would have banned gay marriage. Upshot is, gay marriage will remain legal in Massachusetts. The judge told Scooter Libby, "You're going to jail while you appeal in the CIA leak case." But even that might take a little while if Libby can get an appeals court to take up his case quickly. If.
It's now a race against time between Libby getting his notice to report to prison by the Bureau of Prisons and his getting a notice of stay from some appeals court somewhere. And the betting is that prison officials will have their say before the federal courts chime in. The system just isn't built to immediately evaluate a trial judge's decision to send someone quickly to jail.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. For more people than ever, even though the economy is moving along well, it's just tough to make those huge mortgage payments.
All those adjustable rate mortgages are leading to more late payments and foreclosures and a change in lending practices.
A borrower with a spotty credit history that might have gotten a loan a year ago will not get a loan today.
Doug Duncan of the Mortgage Bankers Association, which says the number of past due payments linked to those risky mortgages jumped to more than 15% last quarter. The Federal Reserve is looking into writing new rules on lending practices. The government's under pressure to do something about the troubled home loan market. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
In western North Carolina, Reverend Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, has died. She fell into a coma recently after months of failing health. She was 87. Billy Graham has said he can't imagine living a single day without her, and his health is fragile. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 71 points today. The Nasdaq was up 17. Oil prices, $67.65. That was up $1.39. The experts say part of the reason is the trouble in Gaza. This is CBS News.
If you're living in a space that's too small or too large or too old or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem. Maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early, so your living space won't be to this or to that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You know, indoor dust, bacteria, and Smokey the Cat have met their match. Orrick Labs have developed a new professional air purifier with the revolutionary Truman Cell. It's the only air purifier that even removes volatile organic compounds, which are carcinogens that can come from ordinary household cleaners. For a risk-free trial, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and breathe easy the Orrick way.
The big money in the entertainment world is Oprah Winfrey. Leah Goldman at Forbes magazine, which has the 100 most powerful celebrities list.
Oprah tops the list this year. She made over $200 million, far and away the top earning person in Hollywood, period, hands down.
$260 million in earnings last year. Number two is Tiger Woods with a paltry $100 million, followed by Madonna, the Rolling Stones, Brad Pitt, and Johnny Depp with a treasure chest of $92 million. Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, and Britney Spears didn't make the list this year. Well, if nothing else, it's a novel way to avoid marriage. In India, Shiv Sharan Yadav pledged not to marry until he passed his high school exams and got a diploma. He's been taking the test once every year since 1969, flunked every time, including this year. He's 73 now, says math dragged him down. But he did pass Sanskrit. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
I'd never gone through commercial real estate experiences before, and there was a lot I did not understand.
I bring my knowledge, my background, and my experience to the table.
Our realtor was able to really hone in, and that's when we found our space.
Working with my realtor saved me a lot more than money. It saved me time. It saved me aggravation.
Work with a realtor, someone who knows the commercial real estate market and can guide you through the process. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
Definitely a smart business decision to use the realtor.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Well, Dad's one hard-working dynamo. It's Father's Day, let him know.
Dad, let your working worries go.
Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Father's Day. Go out back, where fresh salmon is grilled moist and tender, and the steaks are thick and juicy. No worries. We're open early for Father's Day.
Let's go out back tonight.
This Father's Day, we're open at 11.
What a way to make your Father's Day.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Today's edition of the Peter B. Collins Show is dedicated to I. Lewis Scooter Libby. He gone to the big house.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying to chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Boom. I'm the kind of cheater your little homies wanna be like. On my knees in the night, saying prayers in the street light.
Yes, that gangster's paradise known as the Bush White House. It's gonna have a man behind bars. We'll talk about the details in just a moment as Christy Harvey subs for Faz Shakir today from the Center for American Progress. Also on today's program, David Bacon, an expert on immigration, is going to join us. We're going to talk about the interconnection between our trade policies and corporate America's need for cheap labor, read non-American labor. We'll talk about some of these issues and the mess in Washington, all of the extreme rhetoric that, of course, just ends up polarizing people. Also on today's program, Scott Dick, our regular contributor on military and veterans issues. One of the things we're going to talk about was detailed on the PBS NewsHour by the New York Times' John Burns the other night. And have you heard about this? The U.S. is planning to arm some Sunnis. And they've got a whole scheme planned to try to keep them from using those arms against Americans, but I think this is a real desperate move on the part of some desperados in the military and, of course, in the civilian leadership as well. That's just one of the things we'll talk with Scott Dick about. And another military issue is in the news. Mikey Weinstein returns to our program. He's the author of the book With God on Our Side and also the founder of the Religious Freedom Foundation. You may have heard him on our program before talking about anti-Semitism at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. I mean, they have really gone full circle. 10 years ago, it was sex scandals at the Air Force Academy, and these days it's Christian extremism that is an affront to non-Christians, including Mikey's son, who is attending the Air Force Academy, a cadet there. And we'll talk about the latest issues that have surfaced at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. That's coming up later today here on the Peter B. Collins Show. At any moment, you can pick up the phone and call us. Brian Urban will answer the phone and put you on hold, and then, you know, we'll put you on the air. You dial 888-5-PETER-B. It's toll-free, 888-573-8372. And my email is always working, 24-7, peter@peterbcollins.com. Or if you take exception to something I say, just send it to bigmouth@peterbcollins.com, and it'll find me. Christy Harvey, as we mentioned, sitting in for Faz Shakir today from the Center for American Progress. Faz, of course, is the co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, and Christy runs the project called Mic Check Radio just down the hall. Hi, Christy.
Hey, how are you, Peter?
I'm doing great today. It's hotter than hell here in California, and my in-house thermometer says 79 degrees. The air conditioning's overworked today.
Oh, golly. Well, it's lovely here in Washington. I hate to brag, but we've got very temperate and mild temperatures here.
Well, could you ask them to hold that for 4 or 5 days? Because I'm flying in over the weekend, and I would like to just have the humidity turned down to tolerable levels.
I'm on it. You got it.
Well, first, if you could, give us the very, very latest. Judge Reggie Walton said niet to Scooter Libby's request to be treated like Martha Stewart. Is it because he's never published a cookbook?
I think that might be it. I have to tell you, I was watching today, and I really, really, really wanted to see Scooter Libby come out of the courthouse screaming, "Mom, it's not fair," a la Paris Hilton, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah,
the big game now is to talk about whether or not Scooter Libby is going to be pardoned. And everyone has gotten past the point of, oh, he didn't really do anything wrong. It's been very firmly established, obviously, that he lied under oath. There's 5 different counts. And so now everyone just, they're trying to say maybe he shouldn't have to, you know, pay the price for his crimes. And so that's the parlor game going on, not only in Washington, but I think around a lot of the country tonight.
Yeah, and I heard you earlier talking with Tom Hartman on his program, and it's really hard to gauge whether Bush will issue a pardon sooner or later. Certainly sooner keeps Scooter from going off the reservation and blurting out things that might hurt other people who still have a job in the Bush administration. And at the same time, there would be at least a momentary hullabaloo if Bush exercises his pardon powers, which he has used almost to zero, very stingy with forgiveness over the course of his administration, his terms in office. But it is kind of hard to gauge whether they figure they've got nothing to lose and everything to gain by issuing a pardon before he goes to prison.
Well, if you turn on any of the mainstream media this afternoon, you're going to see all of these talking heads on CNN, on Fox, on MSNBC, all talking about how they know that there's going to be a pardon, or they know there's not going to be a pardon. And, you know, you might as well have tried to predict the last episode of The Sopranos. Nobody knows. And this administration is so wacky that nobody really can know, Peter. I mean, if you wanted them to obey the strict structures of the law in the first place, we wouldn't be in this mess.
So are you then inferring that based on your reference to the ending of The Sopranos final episode, that if Bush appears at a news conference and there's Journey music, like Don't Stop Believing playing in the background, we should expect them just to go to black?
It really would not surprise me if that's the last we heard of Scooter. Just fade to black, Scooter's gone. Yeah, it's gotten so wacky. I think something else that we should keep in mind is within the White House itself, this really has come down to who do you protect? Do you protect Scooter Libby, who fell on his sword, threw himself under a bus to save Dick Cheney? Or do you protect Karl Rove? Because actually, if Scooter does start to sing, it's probably going to be Karl who goes down because, you know, he was up to his eyeballs in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one thing to maybe keep an eye on as a bellwether is to see what happens in a completely different scandal, a completely different set of ethical challenges with the Alberto Gonzalez stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And with the new emails that are supposed to be coming out there. And I think that if Karl Rove gets himself into a lot of trouble, that could really come to bear on what happens eventually to Scooter Libby. And it's going to be an exciting June. What can you say? It's all going to come down in the next couple of weeks.
Well, it will be fascinating, and we will be watching it moment by moment. Now, on that front, Harriet Myers, no longer with the administration. She's in a law practice in Texas. And a woman named Sarah Taylor were on the receiving end of subpoenas, one from John Conyers' House Committee and the other from Patrick Leahy's Senate Committee. Now, why are they starting with these two figures when we know it's Karl Rove they really want to hear from?
Well, like so many people in power, the person who tends to their books, who is their right-hand man, who is their deputy, that's the person where you can start to really get the dirt. And they're not going to go for Carl first off because they want to really make sure that they're loaded for bear, as the saying goes. They want to make sure when they go after Carl, they can get Carl. So it makes perfect sense to go after first Sarah Taylor, and not even go after, to have her come in and explain things. And she was the former White House Director of Political Affairs, as you said, and in that capacity, she worked directly under Karl Rove. You know, they were in team in tandem. And she was one of the people who used that top-secret, very shady RNC separate shadow email account when she was at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And she used it specifically to go after some of these U.S. attorneys. So she knows where the bodies are buried. She knows what is going on with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Harriet Myers. Harriet Myers was at the center of this storm. She was the person coordinating between Karl Rove and the political expectations and the Justice Department. She's the one who came up with the initial list of who to fire for not getting enough Republicans elected in 2004. Her initial list said everybody. Then she was the one who helped with Alberto Gonzalez deputy Kyle Sampson to winnow that list down and to rank people according to how loyal they were to the White House. So these two women may not be the big fish of Karl Rove, but they know what happened. And
well,
I think they're starting there for that reason.
There is this very simple question that so far no one has been able to answer, which is who put the names on the list to be fired?
They didn't happen by magic. You know, they did not drop down from the sky above. Someone did it, and that's a great question.
Yeah.
And there was a really interesting development this morning when you remember when the Senate Judiciary Committee a couple of months ago asked for these secret emails,
mm-hmm.
and the White House actually said, oops, we lost them.
Yeah.
That was their excuse.
Right.
Oops, they're gone. Today, in his Judiciary Committee hearing, Senator Patrick Leahy said, here's the deal. We have found out that, of course, the White House was able to recover these from their server. The new problem is they've not yet given them to us.
Mm-hmm. So we know they exist.
And everyone knew they did, but now there's proof from the White House saying that, yes, they exist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they are not bound. They're going to try and fight it, but they're not bound by executive privilege. Specifically because the system was set up to get around official White House servers.
Right, yeah.
So when you try and cut that corner, when you try and have this really tricky, shady little side plan, it can come back and bite you.
Whoops, mistakes were made.
Exactly, whoops.
Maybe we'll find out who made them. We're going to take a break and return with Christy Harvey, talk about the lead story on the progress report today about the failure of the surge in Iraq. And if you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. 18 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Are you feeling the surge? Well, from generals to Democratic leaders on Capitol Hill, consensus is growing that Bush's escalation of U.S. troop levels in Iraq is not having the desired effect. We're talking with Christy Harvey at the Center for American Progress. They publish the Daily Progress Report, and you can log on to progressreport.org, give them your email address, and they'll drop it to you free every day. It's a very powerful look at the news with some important analysis. And Christy, talk a little bit about the surge and the indicators that have surfaced to date that this simply is not having the effect that Bush had predicted.
It's not. It really, really isn't. And there was a very, very telling and depressing report that came out of the Pentagon yesterday. Yesterday's Pentagon report was the first quarterly assessment to come down since, of course, the surge started back in January when the president first announced it. And they had some really tough words. They said, look, it's so far really not not working. Some important benchmarks have not been met. They found, A, political reconciliation within the country. The fixing the civil war is basically at a standstill. B, suicide bombs have more than doubled since January. The overall level of violence has actually increased throughout most of Iraq in recent months. And while we've surged into places like Baghdad and Anbar, the violence has really escalated into other cities and provinces that before were, I don't know, relatively peaceful.
Well, they know how we play whack-a-mole, and when they see us divert our troops somewhere, then they mass where we've just left.
Absolutely, and that's what is happening. And I was really struck over the weekend. I don't always agree with what he's done or what he says, but Colin Powell was on Meet the Press, and he kept just stressing that this is a civil war, and until the Iraqi government can get it together, there's really nothing we can do except for possibly stem the bleeding in a very, very short term. And the New York Times yesterday had this really terrible article that explained that the Iraqi government has so far been able to, not been able to pass a single piece of benchmark legislation that we've said, you know, probably needs to happen before anything new can be accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And they are just, they are blocked. They are at a standstill over there right now.
All right. We're going to talk a little more about this with Scott Dick coming up next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I wanted to turn to another couple of, other topics that you've been working on, Christy. You mentioned in an email to me about a National Republican Senatorial Committee memo to Republican candidates about how to use the Internet. Before you tell us about that, I just want to let our listeners know that the call that so many of you enjoyed, I received a phone call inviting me to dinner with President Bush, Christy, and to become a part of the August Business Advisory Council or some hokum like that.
Well, congratulations.
And we returned the call and talked to the people in the telemarketing boiler room, and the very next day they were all fired. And I'm not taking responsibility or claiming credit, but gosh, you know, it happened within 24 hours. That clip is now posted in the archive page at peterbcollins.com, so you can find it there. And even you, Christy, if you have a slow moment, you can check it out. It's a bit fun. So tell us about this memo about how to use the internets.
It is on how to use the internets, and remember, it's not a truck. It's a series of tubes. It turns out that the Republicans have gotten really nervous and really worried because the Democrats have done such a bang-up job harnessing the power of the Internet. I mean, Democrats are pretty savvy. They've been plugged in the whole way through. Democratic blogs and liberal blogs have been very powerful so far, a lot of things up on YouTube, etc. So the NRSCC, the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee, put together this 39-page booklet, not online, obviously. It's a paper booklet on things that you should know as a Republican candidate. Now, my favorite was there is a section on why it's important not to say horrible racist things like macaca.
Oh, really?
And they actually say, don't have a macaca moment. But I loved it because they didn't say don't say it because, you know, it's really racist. They said, don't say it because, you know, it could go up on YouTube.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's
you're
not
allowed to be racist. Just don't do it when someone could catch it for YouTube.
Don't get caught. That's the Trent Lott message.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a big section on why you should hate blogs and not have anything to do with them. Do not engage liberal bloggers, any anti-bloggers. Instead, just monitor them to try and catch them in mistakes. And then down the road, you can use those mistakes to try and delegitimize them.
Now, is there a tip in there on how to massage your file at Wikipedia?
I wouldn't be surprised if there were, but that one wasn't leaked to Politico.com. But the very next line was, you should really love blogs. Use them as much as you can. So, yeah, they finally have clued into the fact that the Internet exists and that, you know, they might want to check it out every once in a while.
Now, Christy, I'm curious about this one. It's just a tease. Schwarzenegger telling Latinos to shun Spanish language radio. When did this happen?
Isn't that crazy? It happened yesterday. He's actually at a convention of Latino and Hispanic journalists.
Mm-hmm.
And he got up to give a speech to them and said that his advice to people who live here from outside of this country is that they should shun all Spanish language media, that they should only listen to and watch English language radio and news, because otherwise, how are they ever going to learn English?
Oh,
so we actually said they should not pander to people by actually having news broadcasts in their own language.
Excuse me, Arnold, aren't you an immigrant? Thank you, Christy. Always nice to talk to you. Christy Harvey at the Center for American Progress.
The girly man.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school. When you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
There's a new full-service spa and salon in the heart of downtown Monterey at 397 Calle Principal. Gigi's Spa and Salon offers massage, facials, manicures, pedicures, haircuts, and styling, specializing in hair coloring, makeup, eyelash color, and extension, all wedding needs, and much more. Gigi's Spa and Salon is an experience that you must see to appreciate. It's a beautifully relaxing experience for both men and women. All the products used are the very best. If you are pregnant and want your nails or hair colored or permed, it's not a problem because all our products are odor-free and all natural. From now until June 30th, reserve a massage or body treatment or a facial, and you will get a free special treatment that is exclusive to Gigi's Spa and Salon. The Gigi's Signature Spa Shampoo. This is an experience your whole body will never forget. Call 372-0888 now and reserve your spot so you can treat your body to the unique services that await you at Gigi's Spa and Salon. Visit MontereyGigiSpaSalon.com for more information.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
unless you're from Mexico or another Latin American country.
And a kid without a cent. Get a break and maybe grow up to be president. Only in America. Land of opportunity, yeah. Would a classy girl like you fall for a poor boy like me?
And only in America would hate speech be injected into a very contentious debate, painting anything that the extremists on the right don't like as amnesty. Well, the deliberations continue. The bill is not back on the Senate floor, but President Bush is hopscotching around the country giving speeches. He went to lunch with the Senate leadership earlier this week, trying to twist some arms and bend some minds, and from all accounts, not too much movement is taking place. And today in California, we learned, we were given an example of how there are some jobs that have to be filled by non-Americans because the duties are just so onerous that Americans will not take the work. What I'm referring to is that the California Republican Party acknowledged that two of their top consultants are not Americans. One's from Australia, and the other guy is working on his registration papers moving in from Canada. I guess they just couldn't find Americans qualified and willing to take on that difficult and dirty work. David Bacon is a photojournalist, a writer, and a guy who's been following the issues of migrants and immigration in California for many years. He's written a couple of powerful pieces that you can find online at Truthout and at Prospect.org. That's the American Prospect magazine. And David, welcome back to our program today.
Hi, Peter. You're a pretty evil guy there.
Yeah?
That was funny.
I'm sorry. They set me up for that, and I could not resist.
They sure did.
Before we get down to business, just before I went on the air today, you emailed some photos of Michael Moore.
Right.
And he is gallivanting around California, building up interest in his new movie, Sicko, which will be released in a couple of weeks. Have you had a chance to see it yet, or you just saw
it? I did. No, I saw it with the nurses yesterday up in Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
That is a very, very interesting movie. I mean, it starts off by taking on the HMOs in the healthcare industry and sort of a lot of really terrible stories about how people were denied coverage when they really needed it and, you know, when those companies should have provided it. But then what he does, which is, I thought, even more interesting, is he goes first to Canada. And, you know, Michael Moore's sort of in love with Canada anyway. So first he goes to Canada and he explodes all the myths about how terrible the Canadian national healthcare system is and shows that people really like it and it does a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to Britain and he shows basically the same thing. Then he goes to France and he shows that the French system not only provides healthcare but daycare for mothers after they have children. It provides vacations. Even for Americans who go to France and start living there, they get the same benefits that everybody else does. You know, you don't have to be a citizen of France to get it. And then in the final part of the movie, which was the most interesting part, was he takes three people who were first responders at 9/11 who went into the two towers after they crashed to try and rescue people and then wound up suffering some pretty horrendous physical ailments as a result of it, and were denied drugs and health care coverage by the companies that should have provided it for them because they did have health insurance. And he tries to take them to Guantanamo because the people who are imprisoned in Guantanamo actually do have free health care. So he takes them on a boat.
I didn't know about that part. I knew he went to Cuba, but I didn't know he tried to get into Gitmo.
Yeah. First he tries to get into Gitmo, and he's out off the coast of Gitmo in these boats, you know, trying to get in, and they won't let him in. And so then he sort of, I guess he must have sailed around the island and went to Havana and went to a hospital, and lo and behold, they let everybody into the hospital and provide them treatment.
Wow.
So it's a really very interesting movie. I think your listeners will really enjoy it.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, and thank you for the preview. And Michael Moore is looking healthier.
He is. He's losing a little weight.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. He's a big man and does a lot of big work, so I hope that he'll hold on to his health for documentary needs in the future. David, let's turn to immigration, the topic that is hot and controversial these days. You've written a couple of powerful pieces that I'd like to direct our listeners to. Let's start off with the one related to the trade bills that have set the stage for American corporations creating demand for low-wage workers. And there is a connection there to our immigration policy that is often lost in the heated exchanges, often nonsensical, that pass for debate these days.
Right. And this is something that we've talked about a little bit before on your show, Peter, and that is that, first of all, the trade agreements that our country signs on displaced people. You know, NAFTA, for instance, it dumped corn on the Mexican market. You know, the big producers in the U.S. like ConAgra and Continental Grain Company, they get these huge subsidies from the U.S. Farm Bill, produce corn as a result pretty cheaply, and NAFTA allowed them to dump it on the Mexican market. Mexican small producers, small farmers, had to give up their subsidies as a result of NAFTA, so they couldn't compete. And when people couldn't compete, they couldn't farm. They got driven off their lands, and a lot of those folks wound up being what I guess you would call displaced people. In other words, people who had to get on the road to find some work in order to survive. And so some of them wound up going to work in the maquiladoras on the border with the U.S. and Mexico, and some crossed the border and came to work here in the United States. So the reason I think why this is an important thing right now is because at the same time as we're talking about our immigration policy, we have four new trade agreements sitting there in the U.S. Congress with Peru, Panama, Colombia, and South Korea. Each one of those agreements is going to produce more displaced people just the way NAFTA did. And we have a proposal from President Bush to renew what's called the Fast Track Negotiating Authority, which means basically his ability to negotiate new similar trade agreements. So here we have, on the one hand, agreements that are negotiated overwhelmingly for the benefit of big U.S. corporations, because what these agreements do really is that they prepare sort of favorable investment terms for U.S. companies that either want to ship grain to Mexico or want to buy businesses in Mexico and operate them there. People get displaced as a result of that process and wind up going to work often for the same corporations as very vulnerable undocumented people here in the United States. So the same companies basically benefit from those policies on both sides of the border, mm-hmm. as investors in Mexico and as the employers of labor here in the United States.
And if I were at the Wharton School working on my MBA, this would be presented as a wonderful thing because it gives these large corporations, including multinational ones, predictable labor costs. And I'm putting that in quotes, so you can't see my fingers up right now. But predictable labor costs is an interesting phrase because, of course, anybody who runs a business wants to be able to know what their costs are going to be so that they can project what their rates or prices should be. But built into that phrase is a way of keeping American workers from getting raises, from increasing their take-home pay. And one of the ways of doing that is to flood the labor marketplace with underpaid in many cases, undocumented workers.
Yes, and let's remember also, Peter, that when we talk about American workers, who are we talking about here? The people, for instance, who lost their jobs in Watsonville, California, when the big freezers, the vegetable and fruit freezers, shut down and moved their operations to Mexico, were themselves immigrants. They were Mexican, mostly, mm-hmm. People with green cards. So the people who are losing their jobs or sort of on the downside of this kind of job and wage competition, especially at the bottom of the workforce, some of them are citizens, some of them are African Americans, some of them are white, but some of them are also Latinos, some of them are also Asian Americans, and some of them are immigrants. So the basic problem is that the corporations want not just predictable labor, they want cheap labor.
Mm-hmm.
And so they use the trade policy as a way of, well, maybe it's not right to say they use it. perhaps this is not their intention when the trade deals are negotiated, although you have to wonder, after 15 years of experience, you can see pretty well that it does that. But certainly one big benefit to them is that it does displace people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they benefit from that because they then get to employ those people and as a very vulnerable labor force, whether in Mexico and in Maquiladora or in the United States as migrant workers here in the U.S. So,
David Bacon, in the next segment, I want to talk about the labor needs of Silicon Valley and Redmond, Washington, the Microsoft campus up there. But before the break here, give us a little history about the Bracero program, because one of the contentious issues here is being referred to as guest worker programs, and the number permitted has already been cut down, I guess, to about 200,000 in the latest version of the Senate draft. And talk a little bit about how that works, and under the proposed Senate rules, how those people could be exploited.
Well, braceros were people who were contracted in Mexico to come to work in the United States, mostly for growers out in the fields, although the railroads employed some of those people for a while as well. So they were temporary workers. They could only come for a year, and then they had to go back. And they were sort of housed in barracks in semi-military style and paid very, very low wages. And basically abused and mistreated, oftentimes cheated of those wages as well, too. That program lasted for 22 years, from 1942 to 1964. And then the civil rights leaders of the 1960s, especially the Chicano civil rights leaders, like Cesar Chavez and mm-hmm. Bert Corona and Ernesto Galarza, they convinced Congress to end that program because it was so abusive to the people who were involved in it. And also, growers obviously used it to keep wages low, because whenever farm workers here would go out on strike, growers would bring in braceros. So they not only convinced Congress to end that program, but they convinced Congress to substitute a new immigration policy in its place, which concentrated on allowing people to come to the United States in order to unite their families here. In other words, not as contract workers recruited by an employer, but as family members brought to the United States by other family members to live here.
Mm-hmm.
Now what Congress is trying to do, or the proposal before Congress in the Senate bill, is to move backwards into that old Bracero-type program and end the family reunification idea that was kind of the product of our civil rights movement here. And so we have the programs. Well, the one that you were referring to, the one that was started at 400,000 and dropped to 200,000, is one kind of guest worker that they have included in this bill. But we already have a number of guest worker programs here. You know, we're about to talk about one of them around Silicon Valley, H-1B.
Right.
But there are some what are called H-2 programs that already allow employers to bring workers to come to work here in lower skilled jobs in the fields and in manufacturing here.
Mm-hmm. And so this new proposal really is a kind of conscription, isn't it?
Yes. What it does is it gives employers the upper hand,
mm-hmm.
because the rules of the visas are that, first of all, you can only come to the United States if you're recruited by a company or a labor contractor, and once you're in the United States, you have to work. So that if you lose your job, say you organize a union and your employer fires you, or you protest because you're not being paid fairly and your employer fires you, if you don't find another job right away, you get deported. You mm-hmm. have to leave. So that makes it very risky for those workers to stand up and protest over unfair conditions, and that gives the employers, who are already the ones who have brought people here to begin with, an additional kind of leverage over those folks to kind of force them to work under the conditions that the employer dictates.
We're talking with David Bacon here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You got a question or comment? Call me now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. David Bacon's most recent book is a photo essay book called Communities Without Borders. It's a powerful piece. I hope you can find it at your local independent bookstore, or break down and go to a chain store if you have to. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Have you ever felt trapped by fears, anxieties, and limitations in your life? Are there recurring problems you just can't seem to solve? There are solutions to the traps and puzzles of life, and Glenn Brooks, host of Vibrant Living, can show you how to find them. Join Glenn and Simone Zone creator John Mejia for a special Vibrant Living series on energy, psychology, and what it could do for you. This simple, respectful, drug-free, holistic approach based on current understanding of imagery, acupuncture, and focus can open up new insights and abilities. Saturday at 11 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540.
The Philly Sunshine Show.
Philly Sunshine Show.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different. Or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Philly Sunshine Show.
Sundays from 3 to 5.
3 to 5. On AM 540. KRXA.
It's not a coincidence we're at the extreme left side of the dial.
Tom Hartman.
At the Glen Eagles G8 meeting, I think it might have been 2 years ago, the summary of the summit was, we're going to help reduce poverty, and we're going to relieve the debt of many of these nations.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Well, it turned out that it was a trick. It was an accounting trick. What they actually did was they said, okay, reduce poverty by $5 billion by eliminating $5 billion in debt. So they were double counting it, and then they never did either one.
Tom Hartman, weekday evenings on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, now heard on the mighty 620 KPOJ, Portland, Oregon, every Saturday and Sunday in the afternoon. And if you're listening in Oregon, you can drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com, with your comments or suggestions for the show. We continue regarding immigration with David Bacon. Again, his most recent book is called Communities Without Borders. It's a photo essay book about immigrants, and I think you could find it very interesting. David, let's talk now about the article that you posted at Truth Out on the 9th of June called Who Killed the Immigration Bill and Who Wants It to Come Back? And you cite an article in the San Francisco Chronicle quoting Robert Hoffman, who is a Silicon Valley guy, saying, we don't think it's dead. And the summation of your piece here is that companies like Microsoft and Silicon Valley employers who rely heavily on highly skilled workers from other parts of the world who come in on H-1B visas. And this is an area of contention. How is it being dealt with in the Senate draft bill? And what are these companies doing to ensure that they get what they want out of it?
Well, the Senate bill is really what I would call a guest worker bill. The main parts of that bill are the parts that allow corporations to recruit guest workers outside the U.S., as we just finished talking about. So one of the programs that already exists that employers use in this country is what's called the H-1B program, which allows the main users of this program are electronics companies, big high-tech companies. And they recruit people. Sometimes they recruit people directly out of U.S. universities. When students graduate, they lose their student visa. They have to go home if they don't find a job right away. So the companies step in and they say, well, if you accept a job with our company on a guest worker visa, we'll arrange for you to stay here. Sometimes they go directly to other countries and recruit people to come here. And so a lot of these people are software writers, they're technicians, they're engineers, more skilled jobs than, say, farm labor is. And these companies have become very, very enamored of this program because basically what it allows them to do is to hire engineering talent at wages that are way below what they would have to pay if they were competing on the open labor market here in the U.S. for that kind of labor. Right now, companies can bring in about 65,000 workers a year. There's what's called a cap on the number of people that the companies can bring in. Now, there are a bunch of exceptions to this, so in reality, they bring in over 100,000 people a year this way. But that's not enough. In fact, Bill Gates a couple of months ago said that he thought that there shouldn't be any caps at all. In other words, the company should be able to recruit people under this program in an unlimited way. And that Senate bill, the one that died last week or that, shall we say, went to sleep last week, that upped the limit from 65,000 to just shy of 200,000. And again, you know, there are so many exceptions to it that you can figure that it would be well above 200,000 people. Now, that was not enough for these software companies and these electronics companies who announced that they were furious at the Senate for having put even those kinds of restrictions on this bill. They wanted even larger numbers and fewer restrictions. Right now, for instance, there's no requirement that says that the companies have to look for an engineer in the United States first before they can recruit somebody from out of the country.
Well, and that's a really important factor to me, David, because, unlike, say, consulting work for the California Democratic Party, I do think there are Americans who are qualified for these high-tech skilled jobs. And I have a stepson who just picked up an electrical engineering degree, and I'd like to see him given preference over engineers from India or China or anywhere else.
Well, yes. I mean, first of all, it's a disincentive for young people in this country to go to engineering school and to get degrees if they either can't find jobs when they graduate or if they can find jobs but the companies are keeping wages low. And so just to show you what the motivation of the companies is here, these H-1B visas expire at a certain point. So there is a possibility for the people who hold those visas to be able to gain permanent resident status, which wouldn't tie them to jobs any longer. It means that somebody can just live here like an ordinary person.
Mm-hmm.
When those workers get their green cards, their permanent resident status, all of a sudden the companies don't want to hire them anymore because what they really are looking for are workers who have this kind of visa that makes them very vulnerable to company pressure.
Exactly.
That makes it so that workers can't say no, so to speak, to whatever it is that the companies want. And a lot of times the companies not only do this, they don't hire people directly anyway. They use labor contractors.
Right. David, let me jump in. We got about 30 seconds remaining. What's your summation? Is it better for this bill to die, or can it be salvaged in a way that you think makes sense?
I think this bill is better for it to die. We do need legalization for people who are undocumented in this country, and we do need everybody to have a lot more rights than they have right now, but this bill is not going to get us there.
Well, and in the hysterical environment we have leading up to the 08 presidential election with Neanderthals like Tom Tancredo out there, I think you're right. I think it's better to leave the mess the way it is right now and try to address it in the future. David Bacon, always a pleasure. We'll talk again.
Very good.
That's David Bacon here on the Peter B. Collins Show, where Scott Dick is going to join us next. We'll talk about military and veterans issues here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Tom Hartman
at the Glen Eagles G8 meeting, I think it might have been 2 years ago, the summary of the summit was we're going to help reduce poverty and we're going to relieve the debt of many of these nations.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Well, it turned out that it was a trick. It was an accounting trick. What they actually did was they said, okay, reduce poverty by $5 billion by eliminating $5 billion in debt. So they were double counting it, and then they never did either one.
Tom Hartman, weekday evenings on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Senators have a new immigration deal.
The challenge was for them to whittle down a wish list of more than 200 amendments to fewer than 20.
Will Scooter Libby stay out of jail during appeals? I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. There have been intense behind-the-scenes negotiations since the immigration bill stalled in the Senate last week. Now, CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports those talks may have produced a breakthrough.
This afternoon, after meetings, the negotiator for the Democrats, Senator Kennedy, and for the Republicans, John Kyle, are now deciding to present their plan to their party leaders. They're doing that at this hour. They're talking to Senators Reid and McConnell. If all goes well, the bottom line is they could emerge from the meeting and decide that immigration reform is back on track in the Senate as early as next week.
To reassure critics skeptical about the bill's border security provisions, President Bush launched an initiative today.
I support an amendment that will provide $4.4 billion in immediate additional funding for securing our borders and enforcing our laws at the work site. Funding will come from the fines and penalties that we collect from those who have come to our country illegally.
The president said he wants to show the American people that the promises in this bill will be kept. Now this.
We're here at the Bear Challenge, where the two top-selling paint brands are going head-to-head in a competition of quality.
Watching paint dry is exciting stuff here at the Home Depot.
Let's take a look at our current leader, Bear Premium Plus.
I tell you, I did not expect this kind of quality from the most affordable paint.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised. Bear's been rated number one in overall quality by a national study 4 years in a row.
Well, with the kind of resistance to scrubbing that it's shown today, it's certainly proven it has lasting power.
Definitely. But you know where Bear really stood out for me?
Where's that?
That whiter base.
Huh? I can agree with you there. Anybody wanting truer colors can appreciate that.
Folks, you can get out on the action, too, here at the Home Depot. Just vote for the paint you think did best.
And you could win $10,000 in gift cards from the Home Depot. Bob, we got legal on that?
Yes, indeedy. To enter in for official rules, visit your local Home Depot store by July 31st. That's open to U.S. residents. 18 or older, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Nice. Is Bear better? Take the Bear Challenge and decide for yourself. Only at the Home Depot. Good.
Better.
Bear.
If President Bush wants to spare Scooter Libby from prison, he doesn't have much time. Today, the former White House aide was ordered to begin serving his 2.5-year sentence soon. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Not straying from the tough stance he took when he sentenced Libby, federal judge Reggie Walton refused to allow him to remain free during appeals. Throughout the case, he has shown a sensitivity toward treating the former White House aide as he would any defendant. During sentencing, he suggested Americans might lose faith in their government if Libby wasn't properly punished. Walton revealed he has been receiving threatening phone calls and letters from people who think Libby was punished too harshly, some more hateful than others, as he put it. He's saving them in case. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The White House says President Bush feels terribly for Libby and his family, but will not intervene while Libby still has the right to appeal. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid drew the wrath of the White House today for his criticism of General Peter Pace, the outgoing chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
I told him how I felt, that he had not done a very good job in speaking out for some obvious things that weren't going right in Iraq. I told him that to his face.
Reid said he's waiting to see if General David Petraeus, the U.S. commander in Iraq, can be a little more candid with Congress. Reaction from White House spokesman Tony Snow.
Senator Reid has at some point declared the war lost. and also has declared the surge a failure, even though it has not yet been fully enacted.
He called it outrageous to be issuing slanders toward the chairman when Reid's party claims to support the military. The Palestinian government collapsed today under a hail of bullets. Hamas fighters have taken control of Gaza after 5 days of violence that claimed at least 90 lives.
I'm Robert Berger in Jerusalem. An aide to President Abbas declared a state of emergency and described the new Hamas regime in Gaza as illegitimate. Abbas also dismantled the Palestinian Unity Government and dismissed the Hamas prime minister. Abbas still controls the West Bank, but with regard to Gaza, analysts say his decree is too little, too late.
The U.S. State Department warns that a Palestinian state can never be achieved through violence. Kids' breakfast cereal might never be the same. Responding to criticism about its marketing to children, Kellogg says it will improve the nutritional value of cereals like Fruit Loops and snacks like Pop-Tarts, or it will stop advertising aimed at kids. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
If you're living in a space that's too small, or too large, or too old, or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem. Maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early, so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You know, indoor dust, bacteria, and Smokey the Cat have met their match. Orrick Labs have developed a new professional air purifier with the revolutionary Truman Cell. It's the only air purifier that even removes volatile organic compounds, which are carcinogens that can come from ordinary household cleaners. For a risk-free trial, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and breathe easy the Orrick way.
Ruth Graham.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Thanks for joining us for this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show from San Francisco. Every week we like to spend time with Scott Dick. He served in the Marine Corps, retired from the Army as a major, and he helped me understand the Pentagon, the acronyms, and some of the policies and movements of our military establishment. And he's been a very bright critic of the war in Iraq. He's with us this entire hour, and we've got a lot to talk about.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh, no, this is the road to hell.
Oh, yeah, the road to hell. You just make a left at Ramadi, and you're there. Next hour, we're also going to take on a military issue. Mikey Weinstein returns to our program. He's obviously a Jewish guy who has a son at the Air Force Academy, and he got pretty worked up, and legitimately so, over Christian dominance and a kind of religious imposition by Christians there at the Air Force Academy. And there's a new report of anti-Semitic Christian activities at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. And we're going to air that out with Mikey Weinstein about an hour from now. But Scott Dick joins us. Scott, welcome to the program today.
Thanks, Peter. I almost said thanks for taking my call, but I know how disturbed you get when I say that.
Yeah, you're right. So thanks for not saying that. Since we last spoke, there's been a major shuffle at the Pentagon, and this has been going on since last fall. But Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is going to retire instead of having his name renominated and making him subject to Senate confirmation. And at the same time, it was announced that his deputy would retire or resign as well. So this strikes me as a very political move. And it appears that President Bush is trying to get some generals there who will give him the advice that he wants to hear about what's going on the battlefield in Iraq.
Well, I'm thinking, Peter, that perhaps maybe Gates is doing a house cleaning of gun-filled bootlickers. Pace never struck me as anything other than somebody who could say yes whenever Rumsfeld asked him the question.
Well, I think that's a good point, and Gates does appear to be trying to put his own mark on the Pentagon, even though he may only have about a year and a half left to be there.
Right, and that's that's still 18 months of hell, and if he can at least go down in flames with people he picked, it's better than going down in flames with people that Rumsfeld picked. That's as far, you know, maybe he really wants to hear the truth, and these guys just aren't adept at doing that. I mean, it's obvious from serving for Rumsfeld that their primary mission was to say yes and then try to make whatever he wanted done, you know, happen.
Now, the excuse offered by the White House is that they checked with some senators and they felt that a confirmation hearing for a renomination for Peter Pace would be too contentious and would bring up all that old stuff that they're trying to forget about. Is that a viable reason in your view, or is this just a cover story?
That's just political cover for the White House. Gates wants to pick his own guys, and as far as I'm concerned, and since when did the White House do anything that Congress wanted them to do? I mean, why not go in for a big bruising fight and then really blame it on the Democrats to blocking the nomination they wanted, Pace being the hero of Iraq?
Well, that's interesting, yeah. I take your point because we've seen time and time again, number one, the Democrats don't really put up enough of a fight, from my point of view, when troubled confirmation hearings confront them. And the other side of it is that the Bush administration, even, for example, after the illegal NSA spying program was revealed, well, they went ahead and took the architect of that program and promoted him to the intelligence czar position.
And, you know, Gonzalez is still, he still has his job. And I think Gates wants Pace out. And, you know, you can tell that because they said they weren't going to nominate him again. And those are nominated positions. And the Senate will let him retire as a four-star general as a way to keep him quiet. But I think they just want him gone. They want to find somebody who might be a fighter. Pace has said and done some things that has not endeared himself to the Marine Corps, the rest of the Army generals. And, Peter, what's astonishing is the amount of naval admirals they're using to replace the normally combatant commands. I mean, here's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who is a Marine. They're replacing him with a Navy admiral.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the last time they got those big old battleships up on the ground and did some land combat.
Well, and especially police action in a civil war in Iraq. I don't see that admirals are best suited to manage that kind of an operation.
The thing I saw was that they're looking for strategic thinkers. But, you know, there is a sea strategy, an air strategy, and a land strategy. And I think, how is a strategic thinker from the Navy going to do well when there is no strategy for Iraq? That's my question.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we have to add to that, Admiral Fallon is one of our top commanders in the war theater. And you have a good point there that Gates and Bush appear to be turning more and more to the Navy. And some people, I don't want to sound like Fox here, some people I've talked to suggest that they think that this means the effort will be to widen the war to include Iran, and that naval assets would be key players in such an assault, missiles from carriers, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but Peter, that's all tactics. That's not strategy. So I don't know what they mean by that. When we talk about strategy, you know, we're talking about an overall land campaign that is designed to defeat a specific enemy. So I don't know where the Navy's going to come in. It's not that this is, you know, inter-service rivalry here. I have great respect for the naval services. They're good at what they do. But the fact that their mission is limited to mostly water, except for their special forces, maybe they think this guy has a great special forces naval career behind him and that he'll be good on the ground.
Well, I'd like to take your issue here about the promotion of these admirals and naval personnel in general And we do have some listeners in the Monterey area attending the postgraduate school and the language school. And so if you have a comment and you'd like to share that with us about the way the Bush administration is turning to naval officials for top Pentagon jobs, we'd love to hear your thoughts at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Scott, one of the other things that I want to get into, and we'll start it now and continue after the break, is this report that I found rather stunning on public television earlier this week. And the report came from John Burns, who is a veteran war correspondent, who is the lead correspondent in Iraq for the New York Times. And what he spelled out is a new kind of a pilot program, and I believe it's being tested in Anbar province, where the U.S. is arming Sunni groups and trying to, I guess, create a kind of balance of terror or offset the dominance that the Shiites enjoy in the central government and in their control of the national police and what there is of an Iraqi military. And I find this very troubling because despite the benchmarks or the rules or policies that Burns outlined, for example, any of these Sunni fighters are going to have to be identified and wear some kind of a computer chip tag. And presumably that means if they kill an American, we'll know who they are and can do something about it. But I don't trust anybody in Iraq. I don't see how Americans can be handing off arms to any of the factions fighting in Iraq and hope that they won't be used on our own troops.
Well, Peter, we've armed some of our worst enemies. First, we made them our allies, then we turned on them. And I can't let anybody forget that we armed the Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. We trained Osama bin Laden. We trained him how to use Stingers. We shipped him Stingers to shoot down Russian helicopters. And here we are. What a shocker. The Sunnis, we're not the only ones arming the Sunnis. The Saudi Arabia, that has just disappeared off the radar screen. But we hear hue and cry about the Iranians sending weapons to the Shia, who are the traditional minority, not, you know, in terms of numbers, but in politics. And now we have the Saudi Arabians who've been supporting the Sunni insurgency from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about them, and now we're doing it. So there is no guarantee. The chip idea is just laughable at the surface. Yeah, what are they going to do, scan their bodies before we shoot them?
Yeah.
Maybe there's an interlock device that, you know, without the chip, that the M16 or M4 carbine won't work.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll talk a little more about that as we continue. And if you have a question or comment you'd like to contribute to our discussion of military and veterans issues, call us now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill, who's still on vacation. Brian Urban is taking your calls today, and you can catch our archive programs and the live stream at peterbcollins.com.
Hi, Sheila Gale here with 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Addiction and Recovery Talk, Saturdays 4 to 5, now expanding to Wednesday evenings 7 to 8. Taking shame and blame out of addiction, we take responsibility and treat it as the disease that it is. Great guests and great call-ins. Addictions, 12-Step Talk, it's about time. Now twice a week, Wednesday evening 7 to 8 and Saturdays 4 to 5. Brought to you by Sun Street Centers, building healthy lives in Monterey County. Sun Street for recovery and prevention.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Well, there we go. Traffic. Let's take a look at the very latest and talk about a little problem. Well, we want to tell you about a big SIG alert in Sunnyvale, northbound 85, the ramp to Highway 280. It's closed due to a grass fire that's just about out. We have the three left lanes of northbound 85 also shut down as well at 280 with a backup from De Anza Boulevard. Southbound 85, the ramp to southbound 280 shut down as well, and the backup is from the Central Expressway. The reason we're telling you that is it is a major problem, and really folks need to know about it at this point. CHP told us about a problem on Highway 17 northbound, just at the Cat's Restaurant, but it looks like everything has moved off there, so that is some good news. And we're going to update folks on a new problem issued from CHP. At this point, our computer is not cooperating.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking military and veterans issues with our regular contributor, Scott Dick. And lines are open if you'd like to join us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And Scott, continuing on this report from PBS and John Burns of the New York Times about an idea, and it appears to be already being tested, that the U.S. will select certain Sunnis and provide arms and, I guess, some sort of military support, perhaps advisors and communications, logistics support, that sort of thing. And, when you step back and look at our failures to date, that we misjudged dismissing all of the members of the Army, we misjudged the so-called de-Ba'athification program of the largely Sunni group that had been part of Saddam's leadership team running the government, managing the nation before we chose to invade. And we have a very sorry record of trying to figure out who's who and how to make these different parts work. And against that backdrop, Muqtada al-Sadr has, in the last few days, once again called upon his members of parliament to withdraw from active involvement. That's even before their 60-day vacation planned for this summer. And, the list goes on and on, that the U.S. really doesn't have a handle on how to deal with these disparate groups and their various arrays in a civil war.
Well, I read an article last week in the Army Times about a colonel, a brigade commander, who was making inroads in his area. He's done an excellent job talking to Sunni tribes, and the comments coming out of Iraq in this one area is that those people are tired of living the way they're living, and they're working with the Americans to identify those foreign fighters and the Al-Qaeda foreign fighters to get them out of their area, at least reduce violence that way. And he's practically eliminated some phenomenal number of IED attacks and sniper attacks, etc. I can only hope that this armatization, this militarization of this creating their Sunni militias where there were none before, are in accordance with these programs, and they're not something that they're just going out and using Chalabi-like advisors to select this Sunni group. They can be relied on, and then next week we're killing them in firefights.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hope, is that they're actually, it'll be sort of a payment for services, successful services over the long term rendered, versus, let's pay this tribe and then we'll see what's happening. Because this is what we're talking about, Peter. We're talking about money being exchanged, and they're not going to give them arms direct. They're going to give them money to buy that stuff. It's ugly.
Let me ask you, if you could, and I'm putting you on the spot here, maybe there is no parallel, but you served in the Bosnian War in the 1990s. And I'm wondering if there's a parallel here. For example, had the U.S. and NATO given arms to the Kosovars when they were under attack and being driven out of their territories there, is there a parallel that you can think of about just how misguided this is?
Well, that would have been a Serbian bloodbath, which just would have created more conflict with Yugoslavia in Kosovo. We've always armed the bad guys, the Tantamer coup in Haiti, for example. We were actively working against all those disparate forces. The CIA was actively arming the Tantamer coup. We armed the, as much as we say about Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge, we armed them to the teeth. And they gave them the weapons. We armed Saddam Hussein, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So this is nothing more than, business as usual. We don't know how to pick our friends, and we certainly know how to make our enemies.
Yeah. Well, and more fundamentally, we have a very hard time identifying who's who on the streets of Baghdad and, just generally on the ground in Iraq.
I asked, Dr. Bill Beeman, I asked him at the beginning of the war in Afghanistan, how many people in the U.S. government, in media, and in other positions in the administration, had the language skills to actually speak at the level necessary to, and not require an interpreter. He said about 12.
Wow.
So that's the level of language and competence, and if you can't sort out people by talking to them, even the Serbs had a problem. They had to look at their identification cards to see if they're Catholic or Serbian or a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of a civil war, and this is going to play out after we leave, if nothing else.
Well, and I understand that, and that's why I feel like at this late stage that the desperate act by the United States to try to rejigger the balance by arming certain Sunnis, it's only compounding errors. I do not see how it could produce a situation where armed Sunnis feel more confident and don't choose to use those arms, particularly against the Shias who are essentially practicing ethnic cleansing.
And, Peter, if we spend this out, and this is not really off-subject, it's part of this discussion, we're making, slowly but surely, we're making an enemy of Russia as well. And wherever we don't go, Russia fills the gap, regardless of how their economy is doing, that they sell weapons. I think right now there's a report that we're a wash in a sea of weapons worldwide, coming mostly from the United States, Great Britain, France, and Russia, over $1 billion worth now being sold on the market. And I don't want people to forget that when Bush came into office, one of the first things he did was to dissolve unilaterally the ABM, the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty,
opening
the door for Star Wars. Now we want to put Star Wars in the Czech Republic to guard against weapons, missiles from Iran.
Right.
And they're going to fly over the Czech Republic, and we're going to shoot them down in the Czech before they make it to the United States. So my question is, huh?
Well, and also it's supposed to protect other parts of Europe, but as I understand it, it's an advanced radar system in the Czech Republic, but the actual ineffective interceptor missiles would be based in Poland. And it's hard to imagine how that provides total protection, even if you put aside the fact that the Star Wars system doesn't work. Assume that it does work. Citing them in Poland, it's hard to believe that that provides protection, say, for Italy or Albania, should Iran choose to lob some missiles in their direction.
So we know those weapons are aimed at one country, and that's the well, Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, people have their rotting nuclear weapons, in, you know, in their... we pay a bunch of money to keep those weapons, try to keep those weapons in Russia, but it's just another case. We've made enemies all over the planet. We continue to make enemies, and we're making new enemies as we speak.
Scott Dick is with us. More coming up on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Terry MacArthur of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry MacArthur is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Politics by other means. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The air was full of hope back in 2006.
One way to figure out how to address the needs of the people is to let them express themselves at the ballot box, and that's exactly what happened yesterday.
Palestinians had just held free and fair elections. The only problem was that they voted freely and fairly for Hamas, which has sworn to Israel's destruction.
I don't see how you can be a partner in peace if you advocate the destruction of a country as part of your platform.
And so the U.S. and Europe cut off aid. But Hamas, well, they're pretty resourceful. They figured out a way to smuggle in money and weapons anyway, so that in the last few days in the Gaza Strip, about 10,000 Hamas fighters were able to rout the 70,000 soldiers of the Palestinian Authority. In Gaza City and in Khan Yunis, thousands of moderates marched in peace demonstrations, demanding an end to the violence, speaking truth to power. Score one for power.
These were ordinary people fed up with violence facing gunmen who simply shot at them.
One demonstrator was killed, 14 injured. The Gaza Strip, said a Hamas spokesman, has now been liberated. The era of justice and Islamic rule has arrived. Hamas feels morally entitled on the grounds that they won the 2006 elections, and the losing side, the Fatah movement, which controls the army, refused to share power. So they took Gaza by force. Now we wait to see what happens in the West Bank. As the president said back in 2006,
obviously, people were not happy with the status quo.
And that part apparently hasn't changed. Now this.
Get the good stuff!
Stop by your local Napa Auto Parts store and register for a chance to win $100 in free gas. You can also increase your fuel economy by replacing dirty air filters and changing your oil regularly. Visit Napa today and register to win your free $100 fuel card. One card will be awarded at each participating store. See store for official sweepstakes rules and complete details. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Napa fuel card managed by eCounts, a city company. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Well,
We're talking military and veterans issues with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got lines available if you want to join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And as I mentioned, next hour, Mikey Weinstein returns to our program. He's fighting for freedom from religion in the military, and there's a new incident of Christian excess and anti-Semitism at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. We'll tell you about that in about half an hour. And, Scott, last week on our program, we talked at length about the stand-down for veterans that was held in Humboldt County at the fairgrounds, a raging success over, I know that at least 100 people were there on the first day, and perhaps the attendance grew over the weekend. But our colleague Carl Young there, who helped organize that, sent me an interesting email I wanted to pass along to you. And this information is available at alternet.org if you'd like to read it for yourself. It's a study that was released earlier this week by Portland State University. And it reads, male U.S. veterans are twice as likely to die by suicide than people with no military service. And they're more likely to kill themselves with a gun than others who commit suicide. And the study showed, it actually tracked 320,000 males who served in the military, and that covers a range from 1917 to 1994. Those with military service committed suicide at a rate 2.13 times higher than other men, but they didn't have a higher risk of dying from disease, accidental causes, or murder.
There's a connection there, and I saw in a report this week as well saying that the numbers are phenomenal of veterans who will not reach out for therapeutic help as long as they're on active duty because of the stigma attached. There's lots of rules about that. There's really no firm right to privacy if you're a military client, and that's a problem, especially if the therapist is also a military member, so mm-hmm. it can affect your career. And then there's the whole issue of leaving the service. Misdiagnosis of PTSD as some kind of disciplinary problem, and then kicking them out, and that is one way of making sure there's no long-term disability benefits. It's going to get worse, Peter, I think, and one of the reasons I say that is because of this mercenization, this conversion of a traditional sort of idealistic military to this one based on money, and we've just now passed $1 billion in incentives and bonuses for our troops, and that's unheard of. And people that have, you know, people have served in the military for a variety of reasons, patriotism, idealism, mixed. There could be all from one spectrum to another how patriotic they feel or whether there's some purpose to be in the military. I always felt there was a purpose of being in the military. And people are getting out. They're voting with their feet. And so we're recruiting people who will come in because we're offering big bucks. And the guys that get out, they take private contractor jobs in Iraq doing almost the same thing for $200,000 a year. So that tells me idealism, no. Cash, yes.
Yeah.
I think America should be more worried about that change in our traditional military than anything else since all-volunteer military.
And I will try to resist the temptation to generalize or stereotype, but I have similar concerns about the mercenaries, about people who are working for Blackwater or these other contract agencies who are on the ground in Iraq and are essentially commandos or paramilitary. In some cases, they're security for brass. But I have no idea what they will be like when they return from being paid killers and how they will work that through in the remainders of their lives.
I don't know either, Peter. Historically, in my little amount of research I've done on mercenaries, they tend to go where the pay and fight is.
Right.
So if there's a conflict someplace and people are employing, whether it's the diamond mines or the gold fields, they're employing mercenaries to fight those battles, they'll be there. They live for that. And, you know, it's a good way to – it's like for like when they built the Alaska Pipeline. In the 70s, everybody went up there to make, they could make $100,000 a year. Now they're making it $20,000 a month, mm-hmm. serving in Iraq.
Yeah. All right, let's take some calls. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Hey, Peter and Scott. Peter, today I have my very precious sister listening to you on the Internet for the first time.
Great. Where is she?
Down on the L.A. Orange County line, a town that's called Brea.
Uh-huh, sure. Well, great. What's her name?
Betty.
Hello, Betty. Welcome, and thanks for listening. And you're now in charge of marketing there in the entire Orange County behind the Orange Curtain. So, Betty, you need to send out 10 emails tonight and let people know how to listen to the Peter B. Collins Show online.
And, Scott, I talked to I've shared my views before, but I think it's so right on myself that I feel the need to share it any time I hear people groping to try to make any sense out of this occupation and invasion. This administration is all about shifting great wealth from the working people into the pockets of the richest tycoons, the war profiteers. And I see that these wars are very, very profitable to those people, those that are making the billions. And if you look beyond that as their motive, everything has been a lie. Everything has been a lie. There's nothing that they have said that makes sense about why we're there, other than the fact that they're stuffing their pockets with our treasury and their oil. And I hope I'm making sense.
Well, I understand your point of view, Dave, and I wish I had some zippy refutation, or I wish I could correct you and say, oh, you're off base.
I wish you could, too.
But there's really no information to contradict what you're saying. And there certainly are some things we don't know. We're still waiting to find out about Cheney's secret energy group meetings and to the extent to which they did talk about the oil supply, both the identified fields and those that are so far undeveloped in Iraq. But I cannot contradict what you said, and it's sad that, 5 years into this mess, we really can't come up with a decent rationale, and the ones offered have been flimsy and shifting, and they underscore the lies that you just described. So thanks for calling today. Always a pleasure to hear from you.
Thank you.
Peter, just let me add to that. I always love it when the right-wing machine like Greg Beck or one of those other yahoos says, well, it doesn't really matter how we got into Iraq. Now we're there, so now we have to finish the job. You know, no, it does matter. It was a pack of lies, and they're just working on a new set. They create a new set. It's like the set of lies du jour.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, Chase said, I think as recently as last month, that we're winning there.
Still looking for the indicators there.
Yeah, they don't assign benchmarks to winning, but they're winning.
Scott, I want to ask you about an article that I just read. It is in the June 11th issue of The Nation magazine, written by Nick Turse, who is a writer who's often found at TomDispatch.com. And he has done some excellent research and investigation on a number of issues related to the Iraq war and occupation. And his article is entitled The Secret Air War in Iraq. He offers an example. In a two-day span in May, an airstrike in southern Afghanistan killed at least 21 civilians, while a U.S. helicopter attack north of Baghdad killed 5 civilians, including 2 children. Yet very little is known about the air war due to an apparent disregard by the mainstream media. The full story remains one of the best-kept secrets of the Iraq War. What we do know is that since major combat phase of the war ended in April of 2003, since we, toppled Saddam, we have dropped at least 59,000 pounds of cluster bombs in Iraq. And this is a significant issue, particularly in the international community, where organizations like Human Rights Watch criticize us, also criticize Israel for using cluster bombs in the attacks on Lebanon last year. And when you talk about 60,000 pounds of cluster bombs since the major hostilities ended, this strikes me as people who don't understand asymmetrical warfare and who believe that by simply pouring on massive military force that we will not only subdue the fighting factions in Iraq, but we will win the hearts and minds of the average civilian.
Well, cluster bombs, they have the opposite effect. We'll be reaping the benefits of slowing those cluster bombs years in the future because they're really like slowing landmines of the baseball size, maybe a little bit smaller than a baseball. They have anti-personnel cluster bombs and they have anti-vehicle cluster bombs, and they're kicked out of airplanes in big cans, if you will, and they're sprinkled in a target area, and they'll spread, according to the height and the prevailing wind and the terrain, blah, blah. Some they're supposed to explode on their own if they're of that type. If they're not of that type, you know, of course, there's thousands of failures. And so they'll be there, and somebody will pick it up. They'll see it years from now, and they'll say, what is that? And it'll go off. And so it's they'll be injuring people for years and years to come, and I think that's going to be one of those legacies that the United States doesn't want to have in Iraq.
And Scott, just as a casual opinion, do you regard cluster bombs as WMD? Are these weapons of mass destruction?
No, I see it more as mines. And mines, you know, we fought the banning of landmines based on our experience in South Korea. We think it's a big deal. Mines are only effective if you have covering fire. If you just discriminately put them in place, they can be breached, and then they're useless. So because they're overwatched 24/7 in Korea, they have some benefit. Every place else, they become a random sort of weapon where you could, your friends could lay a mine in the battalion next to you, a minefield, sorry, in the next to you, and a week later, for some reason, you could be coming back to the rear for a refit and rest, and if you don't have the right documents and it's not marked, you could very well be killed by a friendly minefield. So it's a very indiscriminate weapon. It's not precise. It's not clean. And normally you use those sort of as a last resort in the defense. You don't ever use them in the attack or you don't have time. So I don't know. I see it more as a minefield with all of the real, real difficult, you know, the disadvantages of using them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about MWD. I think that's, you know, 60, what was that, 60,000 pounds?
Yeah.
Is that 30 tons? That's
right.
Probably 60 of those 500-pound cluster bombs. You know, that's, I don't know. I wouldn't call it WMD, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand. My point was that, you know, we claimed that we had to go into Iraq to stop this guy who had weapons of mass destruction and would use them on civilians. And whether, you know, you consider cluster bombs to be technically a WMD or not, their use in civilian areas where these bomblets will survive and, as you point out, become landmines for an indefinite period, I just think that it's unconscionable and counterproductive. Because,
well, Peter,
again, we're not getting the message about asymmetrical warfare and that we cannot bomb these people into submission.
And your point is so important because all of our targets in Iraq are civilian targets because the last time I looked, there was no Saddam Hussein troops in uniform. So who are we fighting? I get really disgusted when people say terrorists, insurgents, but they're all civilians. And it makes me crazy because I'm a traditional military-style warrior, if you will. You know, I would never dream, you know, urban, it just drives me crazy. Urban warfare is so difficult, but military just didn't train for it. We go to the National Training Center out in California for a month, and our troops spend 2 days in the little fakey town that we had. It's, when we went in 2003, we were completely unprepared for urban warfare, and I think the CIA pointed out in their report, I think the military at a lower level pointed out, and it was ignored by this administration, and now we're reaping that. It is such a difficult type of warfare to fight, and then you blend it into an insurgency. We used the Battle for Berlin, for example. That town, that entire city was destroyed down to its foundations in the fight, and that was urban warfare.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I don't know what they're expecting. We're killing the people we shouldn't be killing. We're making enemies of people that were our friends when we moved in 2003. And the difference between our relationship with the Iraqis from 2003 to 2007, it's like we're in a completely different country.
Yeah. And Scott, just one more note on the cluster bomb issue.
Yeah.
In February of this year, 2007, there was a conference in Oslo. 46 of 48 governments in attendance approved a ban on cluster bombs to go into effect next year in 2008.
Wait, don't tell me. I can guess the two countries that voted no or abstained.
Okay.
The U.S. and the U.K.
Nope. The United States, China, and then Pakistan, Israel, and Russia were not at the conference, but they opposed limits on cluster bombs. We're going to take a break and return. More with Scott Dick in a moment. And lines are open if you want to join us. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
something up with me.
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Hi, I'm Linda Cantrell, host of the exciting new show, Talk of the Town. Along with my co-hosts, Kami Ajir and Dale Edward, we explore fun and interesting things, places, and people in our area. Listen for us starting Tuesday, June 12th from 7 to 8, or check out our website at gotalkofthetown.com.
If you'd like to see The Police, Bon Jovi, Melissa Etheridge, John Mayer, and more, tune in this Sunday at 10 a.m. when Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings, will be hosting the show. Jim will be highlighting the power of compounding your real estate investments. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. on Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one choice for all your real estate needs. For more information, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at a big problem that's reported in Sunnyvale. We're going to mention this to you because it's a SIG alert. And what I can tell you is that northbound 85, the ramp to southbound 20 remains closed due to a grass fire. The good news, the grass fire now out. The 85 connector ramps to 280 have reopened. North 85 is slow from just about De Anza Boulevard. Meanwhile, we are going to take a look at a problem in Salinas. This would be Laurel's Grade, right at Highway 68, pieces of plywood scattered in the lanes there. Then let's take a look at Capitola, because it's always fun there. Northbound and one at Park Avenue, we have a crash there, two cars in the center divide, and it looks like CHP units now on scene. A support brought to you by Toyota. Toyota, the cars more people rely on for fuel efficiency than any other nameplate. Test drive your favorite fuel-friendly model at your Toyota dealer today. I'm Mike, the traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Scott Dick is with us, our contributor on military and veterans issues. As we mentioned, coming up after the top of the hour, Mikey Weinstein will join us and talk about Christians trampling the rights of others at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, Christians in the military. It's a very interesting story, and we'll get to that in about 15 minutes. Scott, when we were talking off the air a couple of days ago, you mentioned to me the latest on Shirley Phelps. And you were the first person to bring to my attention Fred Phelps, this twisted, alleged pastor, alleged Christian from Topeka, Kansas. And did Shirley get arrested recently? Was that it?
Well, her son got arrested, and her 10-year-old son, I guess he wasn't detained, he wasn't arrested. She was detained, yes, and I don't, you know, Pete, I have tremendously mixed emotions talking about it. Makes me real very uncomfortable, because I feel like any time, okay, she was arrested for allowing her 10-year-old son to stomp on the American flag, and she said it's her First Amendment rights to do so. So now she's being charged, according to Kansas law, which says that desecration of the American flag is a crime.
And this is part of another protest where they have gone to the funerals of Iraq veterans, and they have this twisted, you can't call it logic, but a twisted rationale. Fred Phelps says that he was subjected to a bomb that's the equivalent of an IED. Somebody tried to attack him. And therefore, he takes this as a message from God, that those in Iraq who use improvised explosive devices against Americans are actually getting even for America's tolerance of homosexuality. And none of that makes any sense to anybody, I guess, except Fred Phelps and his daughter Shirley.
But remember, Peter, when we had Shirley Phelps Roper on the telephone back way back when, remember that interview with her?
I do.
She said that there was an IED, that the U.S. employed an IED or allowed the use of an IED against her father, against their church. And this was punishment for the U.S. using an IED against they're born in Iraq and using IEDs. And I asked, remember I asked the question, well, if this is God's punishment, couldn't it have been God's punishment for your flaky belief that there was an IED sent against your church? And remember how stumped and then angry she became?
Yeah, and then she started sputtering about how you and I have never read the Bible.
Right.
And so, as if that answers anything.
Exactly. So, you know, she's in that case, but, well, and because of her and her family's behavior, and this is a church, a single family church with a, has a quite extended family. I think they have about 50 members. There have been 32 states have passed laws prohibiting demonstrations of any kind near funerals, and there's a group that now goes around the country and just forms a human shield so that people who are grieving over their loved ones can be left in peace. It's not just military. I think they've also done police officers, and I know that they went to Wyoming when that young man was killed there, that brutal murder.
Yeah, and like you, Scott, I do have mixed feelings. I have never promoted or condoned flag burning, but I think fundamentally it is a First Amendment right, and that by attempting to ban it, you simply make it more attractive as a form of dissent or public expression.
And people try to claim, which really infuriates me, that somehow their patriotism is tied up to the American flag and that the American flag has done this and the American flag has done that. No, it's a bunch of crap. Only Americans in and out of uniform, people, have done anything. The flag is an inanimate object. My patriotism comes through my expression of work, of activity, being in the military, voting, for God's sakes, those kind of, doing my civil duty, not trying to cheese out of jury duty. Those are things that make you a patriot, not just sticking a flag, an American flag, on your car or your windshield or some other crap.
Very well said. Scott, about 2 minutes. Any other items that you'd like to bring forward from the Army Times or your other research?
I just want to close the loop on this deal with Poland and the Czech Republic. You know, during the break I was thinking about why we would be so, persistent. Well, we're paying them back. They've been good allies in NATO. They came to Gulf War I. They've been in the Czechs, I'm talking about. They had troops there. They were chemical troops. They did a good job. They've been with us. I remember I stood behind Lech Walesa when he was giving the speech about NATO needs to come to Poland, and they need to do it now. And I think finally, and that was in 95, finally we're trying to do something to reward these small countries. They don't have great economies. They're still recovering from, you know, their communist times and the Nazi times. So we're going to put troops there, and a lot of money gets sent. But don't try to disguise it as the Star Wars program. Just either put troops there and put them in training zone, or just do the transfer payments and be done with it.
Yeah. That would be too simple.
And straightforward and honest, instead of putting this crap that doesn't work, the Star Wars, which is a figment of Reagan's administration, and it's continued to warp the minds of Republican conservative politicians since then. It's not a solution to anything, except it makes people in the defense industries very wealthy.
It's $110 billion of Game Boy. I mean, it's never worked. They have given us no indication that it's about to start to work. They conduct these tests to try to keep the funding coming. And
they make the tests, and they still don't work. They can't
right.
make them good enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, Peter, you're wrong. Game Boy works, baby.
And the other payback for Poland is that we recently learned that Larissa Alexandrovna's report from earlier this year has been corroborated by a Swiss investigator named Dick Marty. And there was a gulag, or a prison facility, that the U.S. was using to park some alleged terrorist suspects at a near an airbase in northern Poland. So,
and bless the Poles, they're great people, and they're trying to fulfill NATO's dream, wet dream, in Afghanistan. They're getting ready to send 2,500 more troops into that hellhole.
Got it. Scott, thank you very much. We'll talk again soon.
You're welcome, Peter. Anytime.
Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The immigration bill has a second chance. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
After furious efforts to revive it, including personal lobbying by President Bush, Senate leaders say they will try again to pass the immigration bill. It could return to the floor of the Senate as early as next week. This does not mean it's going to pass. There remain strenuous objections, especially among Republican senators, but does suggest the debate itself won't be blocked again. This latest breakthrough came after President Bush endorsed the idea of providing $4.4 billion for border enforcement all at the beginning instead of paying for it over time.
That's to placate the critics who demand guarantees of border security. Mr. Bush made another pitch for the immigration bill in a speech today.
The bill is a practical way to address problems that have sprung up as a result of an immigration system that hasn't worked.
A verdict in Jackson, Mississippi, reputed Klansman James Ford Seal has been found guilty of kidnapping and conspiracy in the 1964 deaths of two black teenagers, their bodies found in the Mississippi River. Seal is 71. He could spend the rest of his life in prison. Seal had always been considered a suspect, but the case languished for decades until he was indicted in January. A federal judge in Washington ruled today that former White House aide Scooter Libby should go to prison while he appeals his conviction in the CIA leak case.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. Under the law, President Bush can grant a pardon at any point in the judicial process, though he has made it a practice not to do so until after all appeals are exhausted and the lawbreakers have served their sentence. And even in the case of Scooter Libby, aides insist that Mr. Bush won't intervene while the appeals process is underway.
Libby can appeal today's ruling. If that fails, he's likely to begin serving his 2.5-year sentence this summer. In 5 days of fighting that left dozens dead, Hamas has seized control of Gaza. The Palestinian Unity Government with Fatah has been disbanded, and U.S.-backed President Mahmoud Abbas has declared a state of emergency. State Department spokesman Sean McCormick calls it a setback for Palestinian statehood.
The way to achieve a Palestinian state is via the negotiating table. It's never going to be achieved via the use of violence, threats, intimidation, or terrorism.
Surrounded by her husband and 5 children, Ruth Graham died at home this afternoon. The wife of evangelist Billy Graham was 87. Norris Hall, the building on the Virginia Tech campus where most of the killings took place, reopens Monday. Reporter Joe DeShiel of CBS television affiliate WBDJ took a tour today.
The classrooms have been cleaned and renovated. There's new paint on the walls, tile on the floors. No evidence that this was the scene of mass murder. At the same time, it was impossible not to think of the horrific moments back in April, and as well as the unselfish acts of courage that occurred there.
Gunman Sung Hui Cho killed 31 people in Norris Hall before taking his own life. The Dow up 71 points. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest 5-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop. Stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-40 go now. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO now for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO now. Call now.
There are no poor people running for president. It's more a matter of being well-off or wealthy. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
In disclosure forms submitted here in Washington to the Office of Government Ethics, the wealthiest member of Congress running for president is Hillary Clinton. Her wealth, combined with that of her husband, two bank accounts listed, each described as between $5 million and $25 million. Former President Clinton's speech fees last year totaled $10,200,000, up from the previous year when he made $7.5 million from speeches. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Bill Clinton has said he's trying to make money now so he wouldn't have to work if his wife is elected. A spokesman says Mr. Clinton makes a lot of free speeches for charity. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney appears to be the richest person running. His assets are estimated at between $190 and $250 million. Rudy Giuliani and John Edwards report $30 million each. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
We're here at the Bear Challenge, where the two top-selling paint brands are going head-to-head in a competition of quality.
Watching paint dry is exciting stuff here at the Home Depot.
Let's take a look at our current leader, Bear Premium Plus.
I tell you, I did not expect this kind of quality from the most affordable paint.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised. Bear's been rated number one in overall quality by a national study 4 years in a row.
Well, with the kind of resistance to scrubbing that it's shown today, it's certainly proven it has lasting power.
Definitely. But you know where Bear really stood out for me?
Where's that?
That whiter base.
Huh? I can agree with you there. Anybody wanting truer colors can appreciate that.
Folks, you can get out on the action, too, here at the Home Depot. Just vote for the paint you think did best.
And you could win $10,000 in gift cards from the Home Depot. Bob, we got legal on that?
Yes, indeedy. To enter in for official rules, visit your local Home Depot store by July 31st. That's open to U.S. residents. 18 or older, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Nice. Is Bear better? Take the Bear Challenge and decide for yourself. Only at the Home Depot. Good.
Better.
Bear.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll-free, at 1-888-5-PETER-B, and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you...
To believe in a god of fire and brimstone, but some people do. Arthur Brown, the crazy world of Arthur Brown. It's called Fire. Joining me now is Mikey Weinstein, who fights for religious freedom and religious tolerance. He is the author of a powerful book called With God on Our Side, and he is the founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. And unfortunately, their workload is expanding. Mikey, welcome back to our program today.
Peter B., it's great to be back here.
Well, my pleasure to talk with you, but I'm disappointed that there are more cases of religious intolerance driven by fundamentalist Christians in the military. And the new location for this, we've talked a lot about Colorado Springs and the Air Force Academy, where you graduated and where your son, actually several family members, have gone to school and graduated with honors. And now the scene of these crimes, if you will, is Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. And my friend Jason Leopold, who writes for truthout.org, has been all over this story, and you can read about it at truthout. There's also a great video interview with Mikey Weinstein that was taped, I think, before the Fort Leavenworth case surfaced. Is that right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, Mikey, give us a sketch here. What's going on at Leavenworth?
Well, first of all, of course, it's embarrassing to even have to say this as an American citizen.
we were contacted by enlisted and officer and civilian folks at Leavenworth. I think pretty much all of them, with one exception, were either Protestant or Catholic. About 5 days ago, indicating that that there was, for a long period of time, on their official U.S. Army website, the chaplain's website for the Fort Leavenworth, and you have to remember, it's not just a prison there; it's a gigantic Army training compound where they're supposed to train, you know, officers and enlisted people about the basics of how you conduct warfare pursuant to our Constitution. And there, sitting on the website, is a Dominionist Christian, which is this fundamentalist evangelical Christian lesson plan, basically discussing Jews throughout history. It talks at one point about the Jewish problem, which, you know, the last time we saw those three words, Peter B., in that particular juxtaposition, there was this fairly aggressive militaristic nation state in Europe in the 1930s that was doing a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
And it referred to a term called Judaizers. I mean, I know what a Budweiser is. I've never even heard of a Judaizer. It was a complete, extended, comprehensive lesson plan focusing on essentially this militarized, or what I call the weaponized gospel of Jesus Christ, how it has transcended Judaism. The essential message you would get out of seeing the website was Army, very good. Evangelical fundamentalist Christianity, wonderful. Jews, bad, bad, and more bad.
Wow.
And again, look, we don't. It's very important. The dogma, I find, heinous, wretched, and objectionable beyond belief. But if they had just been on the website the way the Catholics, the Muslims, the Protestants, and the Jews were, just saying, okay, we conduct services at this time if you want to come, blah, 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 they could have said, look, we're going to have a special Bible study of the history of the book of Galatians or whatever, since that was what they were focusing on, Peter B., in Post Chapel number 3, room 14 at 2000 hours Thursday night. That would be fine. But when you spew that, again, as long as the soldiers coming and the civilians that might be coming were coming completely voluntarily. But to put this on the website, to engage the machinery of the state, violates every single aspect of our Constitution and our constitutional case law. And it represents just another example of the fact that we know there are 737 U.S. military installations now that the Pentagon acknowledges that we have. It's actually closer to 1,000, Peter B., that are scattered around the world as we garrison the planet in 132 countries. And on every one of them now, we have an Officers' Christian Fellowship. There's almost 40 of them on Fort Leavenworth alone for the officers, and a Christian military fellowship for the enlisted. They have a tripartite or three-level goal, and this is a goal that they view much more important than the oath that every one of them swore out to protect, preserve, support, and defend the Constitution. Goal number one, Peter B., is they want to see a spiritually transformed U.S. military. It's right on their website. I can't make this stuff up. Goal number two, listen carefully now, with ambassadors for Christ in uniform. Goal number three, empowered by the Holy Spirit to raise up a godly military.
So then back there right after 9/11, when it was alleged that Bush misspoke when he used the term crusade, and he quickly removed it from his vocabulary because of its loaded meaning among Muslims. But it sounds like there is a whole movement to create a kind of a fundamentalist Christian military that can conduct this kind of a religiously influenced crusade.
It seems as though Bush misspoke when he took the oath. That's where he misspoke. No, you're exactly right. I mean, we've turned the Pentagon, Peter B., into a Pentecostalgon. It's become, I guess, the Pentagoons. And the Department of Defense has been turned into a terribly unconstitutional faith-based initiative, but you know what? That's where all the nukes are. We see this over and over again. It's not just at Fort Leavenworth. We see it everywhere. It's just that after the story broke, I was besieged with calls from people at Fort Leavenworth saying, thank you, please don't go away, because they're under tremendous pressure. And this is a dogma that is anathematic even to its fringe, even to most of Protestantism. Only 12.6% of Americans would fall into this Dominionist, fundamentalist, evangelical Christian category, but that's still 38 million people. And when you're looking at somebody who is superior to you in the military chain of command, that isn't just your shift manager at Costco or Walgreens or Starbucks. That's somebody who completely controls every aspect of your life, and that's what makes this so very, very dangerous. Now, I was attacked, and my foundation were attacked today by something called the Liberty Council. I think it's in Lynchburg, Virginia. So it's associated with my good friends, Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell, the legacy of that guy. And by the way, Ding Dong, the witch is dead with regard to him. I'm not going to sit here and give any platitudes out. He was a very, very bad man. And the fact that so many other organizations, including the Anti-Defamation League, were so temperate in what they said to me is a good example of the fact that they don't recognize, or they refuse to recognize, or have the balls to recognize that this is a battle that we're in. They were claiming that Mikey Weinstein and his foundation are trying to drive all evangelical Christians out of the military, which, of course, is the big lie again. And as I told the press when they asked my reaction, I said, I really want to reach out to them in Lynchburg, Virginia. I want to reach out and feel the lobotomy scars on their forehead.
Mikey Weinstein is our guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He is the founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. He formerly served as a JAG, a Judge Advocate General in the Air Force. He served as a White House counsel in the Reagan administration. So he's not a dangerous lefty or a guy with a liberal peacenik track record. He is a guy who respects the Constitution and believes in it and believes that it should be properly observed. Now, with your legal training, Mikey, could you give us a 1 or 2 minute primer on what the military regulations are about the role of chaplains, about the use of Pentagon and taxpayer-funded websites for proselytizing, and in particular, where is the line about what is permissible in terms of preaching when it becomes critical of other religions?
Well, these are really great questions, and it's a shame that you probably have to give the same clinic to the Supreme Court and every member of the GOP, God's own party. I can tell you the Pentagon is so well aware of the fear of this draconian specter of command influence, Peter B., that they actually have issued regulations, long-standing ones, that prohibit anyone up and down the chain of command from pushing Amway, Mary Kay Cosmetics, and Tupperware on subordinates. Basically, we've decided that it does not violate the Establishment Clause to have a chaplaincy. There is a growing groundswell movement to actually look at that, whether even that's constitutional anymore. But I've decided I'll take that issue on in the year 2057, not 2007.
Okay.
And obviously, most Americans, if you want a good example of what a chaplain in the military should look like, you know, Hollywood actually got it right once, and that was with the TV show called MASH and Father Mulcahy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the chaplain was there as a universal blood donor for everybody. In fact, when I was married in the largest university cathedral in the world at the U.S. Air Force Academy in a completely Jewish wedding by a Protestant chaplain. My wife was born and raised a Presbyterian, and we couldn't fit downstairs. You know, we had too many people in the wedding party. So the bottom line becomes, when does the military, when is it engaging the machinery of the state? It is not doing that if people voluntarily come to a Bible study session or a worship session, and I do mean voluntarily, because in the military, the mere tacit nuance of a statement, the wink of an eye, the turn of a head can mean something that's an absolute mandatory situation. They can pretty much say whatever they want to do as long as they're not advocating the violent overthrow of the United States government. But when you get on a website, I mean, a reasonable person, again, looking at this heinous website, would think, well, this is what the U.S. Army is saying. This is their view. Let's talk about, for instance, at one point, I kid you not, it talked about Sanballat, who was a Sumerian governor 2,500 years ago, and the problems he had with the Jews, the Jewish problem then, and how do we compare it to the Jewish problem now?
Well, let me read a quote here. How do you interpret Sanballat's reaction to the Jews' progress, angry suspicion and bitter mockery? In light of what we know about the Jews' performance today, were his fears reasonable?
A good question. You know, this is amazing to me. I'm an American citizen. I happen to be of the Jewish faith. But there's somebody on a military installation that's on a website deciding, let's look at those Jews' performance. You know, my mind remembers, you may remember this, it may ring a bell. 23, 24 years ago, there was a terrible bombing at a synagogue in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And the French were tremendously criticized for reporting the 5-person death toll as follows. 3 Frenchmen died and 2 Jews. You know, and of course, the 2 Jews who died were completely French citizens.
Sure.
And this is this dominionist religious philosophy cleaves Americans, and particularly those in the military, into those who are the children of the greater God, Peter B., and those who are the children of the lesser God. And we've seen all this before. There's nothing new under the sun. Whenever a virulent form of Christianity has, again, engaged the machinery of the state, you know, the train leaves the station over and over again, and it always goes to Slaughterville. You know, we end up with oceans and oceans of blood. And this is something, like I said before, this is... the Army knew they were wrong. They quickly took the tarantula off the wedding cake. In 18 hours, they pulled that thing down.
Yeah, the website is gone.
Yeah, it's gone now. Now, they issued a statement today saying, well, the chaplains have taken it down temporarily just to review to see what things look like, but all religions are completely welcome here at Fort Leavenworth.
Yeah, they need
that's
a
true, but they left off the last part. They're welcome to come here and become low-hanging fruit in a target-rich environment for Dominionist Christians to convert them.
Mikey Weinstein, he's a powerful force with a great sense of humor. We'll continue in a moment. You got a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. And we will not inquire as to your religious persuasion. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Howdy, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest, starting off with a problem. Excuse me. There we go. Starting off with a problem in Carmel, Highway 1, northbound after Ocean Avenue. Three-vehicle crash blocking the right lane. Looks like a minor injury reported. CHP already there. Other than that, we are also going to mention our problem located. It is in Sunnyvale. And it's a sig alert issued northbound 85 at 280 has been reopened. Earlier grass fire is out. Northbound traffic slows from DeAnza Boulevard. Southbound slows from 280 to DeAnza. Highway 17 at Scotts Valley. Southbound 17 after Granite Creek. We have a vehicle on fire. Vehicle smoking heavily on the right shoulder. The fire department is on scene. And this report is brought to you by McDonald's. We'll be right back.
We're talking with Mikey Weinstein. He's got a book called With God on Our Side.
The country I come from is called Midwest. I was raised and brought up there, the North Divide. And it's the land that I live in.
And I guess Fort Leavenworth is part of the Midwest, kind of on the western fringe of the Midwest. That's an old Bob Dylan song. It was remade in the 80s by a San Francisco band called Wire Train. And that's the same song that inspired Mikey Weinstein's book title called With God on Our Side, One Man's War Against an Evangelical Coup in America's Military. And, you know, some people might think that subtitle is a little bit strong if you base it only on the incidents at the Air Force Academy, which you're more intimately aware of, Mikey. But this Fort Leavenworth situation is not isolated, and it does appear that there is a whole evangelical movement in the military. And this gives me great concern, not only as a taxpayer, but as a free-thinking secular American who believes in the First Amendment, that it provides us freedom of and freedom from religion.
That's true. You know, it's not just the best metric I can give is that this is, like I said, this is omnipresent. It's in the very air conditioning now of the Department of Defense. We've had over 4,200 members of the U.S. Marine Corps, Navy, Army, and Air Force come to us, Peter, as tormentees. And here's the fascinating statistic. Roughly 96% of them are Christians. Three-fourths of that group are traditional Protestants, you know, Presbyterians, Methodists, Episcopalians, Lutherans. We'll get Mormons. We'll have Assemblies of God, Church of Christ, even Baptists. One-fourth of that 96% are generally Roman Catholic. The other 4 or 5% are going to be the minority, you know, the normal minority religious faiths, the well-known ones, Buddhist, Hindu, Islamic, Jewish, Jain, Wiccan, agnostic, atheist. This is basically a dominionist, fundamentalist, evangelical Christian situation where they're praying, P-R-A-Y and P-R-E-Y, on non-evangelical Christians, telling them, you know what, you may think you're a Christian, but you're not actually. And as a matter of fact, as a result of that, unless you accept our biblical worldview, you're going to burn eternally in the fires of hell along with the Jews. And it's also not just the First Amendment, which, you know, went into effect in 1791, March of 1791, you know, which has the separation of church and state. It's very, very clear, although the religious right, you know, views that as a myth. As a matter of fact, in Texas, that's a plank of the Republican platform down there to, quote, dispel the myth of separation of church and state. But if you just go actually to the body of the Constitution, which it was actually went into effect in December of 1789, we have Clause 3, Article 6, where our founding fathers were so prescient, they were so careful, they looked very studiously and assiduously at European history and found that most of the tyrannies there had occurred when men of the cloth had been men in political power. They looked at Cromwell in England. They even looked, heck, at the Salem witch trials. They said, not here, not in this country. And they put in Clause 3, Article 6, we will never have a religion test for any position in our federal government. And yet, you know, what do you do when you have the Air Force making this statement in 2005 by one of its generals, the number two chaplain of the thousands of the chaplain's corps, Brigadier General Cecil R. Richardson, on the front page of the newspaper most hated by the Pentagon, so you know that the statement had to be fully vetted, which is the New York Times. He says it's now the Air Force's official policy to, quote, reserve its right, I can't make this stuff up, Peter B., you know, to evangelize anyone it determines to be unchurched. Think about those words. It's going to make a determination whether you're unchurched or not. And if you're unchurched, they're going to reserve their right, just like not to serve anybody without a shirt or shoes in a restaurant. They might evangelize you. That is absolutely, obviously, a religion test. So where is America? Well, most of America, that's the reason The Simpsons are so popular. It seems most of America is, in fact, Homer Simpson.
Well, Mikey, just about 40 seconds remaining. What's the legal recourse you have against these abuses at Fort Leavenworth?
We'll go right into federal court for several multiple violations of the U.S. Constitution. And I know we have a little time left. I would advise your listeners, if you want to hear more, we're a nonprofit charity. You can help. Don't write letters and don't make phone calls. They're as useless as a baseball bat in a football game. Go to our website, www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org. Again, militaryreligiousfreedom.org. Make a tax-deductible donation and help us fight these bad guys.
All right, Mikey, you keep up the good work, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Peter B.
Read more about it at truthout.org under Jason Leopold's byline, and there's a video interview with Mikey Weinstein up there as well, truthout.org. All right, the rest of the hour set aside for some commentary from me and your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. Give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Have you ever felt trapped by fears, anxieties, and limitations in your life? Are there recurring problems you just can't seem to solve? There are solutions to the traps and puzzles of life, and Glenn Brooks, host of Vibrant Living, can show you how to find them. Join Glenn and Simone Zone creator John Mejia for a special Vibrant Living series on energy, psychology, and what it could do for you. This simple, respectful, drug-free, holistic approach based on current understanding of imagery, acupuncture, and focus can open up new insights and abilities. Saturday at 11 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations. I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, Riley!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show, only on KRXA 540.
Down in Monterey.
Live from the left. Left Coast. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. All my lines are open for your comments right now. Any subject will work. I'd like to hear your opinions. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. From Texas, that's Edgar Winter and little Rick Derringer on the guitar there, going back to the early 1970s. I'm Peter B. Collins, and I'm happy to talk with you about any subject you'd like to bring up. I've got a bunch of things that I want to mention to you over the next half hour, but my lines are open, and this is an interactive radio show. I always do like to mention that for our listeners in Portland, Oregon, who hear this show on Saturday, it's not really possible for you to call, but you can send me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com, and I value your feedback, comments, criticism, or any ideas you have for topics or guests that you'd like to hear here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And I have in my hands here a fundraising letter from a Democratic candidate for president. And on the outside is the tease to try to get me to open this, and it is unopened right now. It reads, "On my first day in office, I'd end the war in Iraq. On my second day, I'd announce a plan for achieving national energy independence." I'm going to put this fundraising letter right over here next to my computer screen. And I'd like you to call in and guess which Democratic candidate for president has sent me this fundraising letter. And if you are correct, I'm going to open the letter and we'll read it and I'll get your reaction to it. You can tell me what you think about this individual's prospects for winning and also just the viability of their policy statement as evidenced by this letter. So give me a call and we'll take your calls here and see if you can guess who has sent me this letter. And then we'll jointly explore the contents. Again, my number, 888-573-8372. And while I'm waiting for some calls to get set up here, I'd just like to share with you an experience I had last night. Sting and the Police have reunited for a world tour, and they came to the Oakland Coliseum, and somebody gave me some tickets, and they were great tickets. I was in the second row. I could actually see Der Stingel and watch him as he worked over that bass, and it's a beautiful old bass that shows the wear and tear and the love and affection with which he has drubbed it over the years. And I have to tell you something candidly. I really like the Police, and I love their music. And I don't think they are a stadium rock act. Their songs, in many respects, are too fluid, too sensitive. They're in the ballad zone or in the kind of synth-pop zone. And I don't think that they work in a huge stadium environment. And as I looked around me, there were 60,000 people who had paid at least $50, and my ticket had a face value of $250. And if they had any inkling like my view, there was absolutely no indication of it, because they were swilling $10 Budweisers and $15 margaritas, buying $35 T-shirts. And I just looked up there at Der Stingel, as he and Stuart Copeland and the guitarist, whose name often escapes me, were performing. And when they got into da-do-do-do-da-dee-dee-dee-da-da-da-da, I just thought, well, while Sting was singing those words, he was thinking ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Because massive amount of money was extracted from the wallets of Police fans. And I guess they're going to do that coast to coast till the tour goes on. And so if you love the Police so much that you can put up with a mushy sound, and for most people who don't have second row seats, you know, a thing that is the equivalent of watching them on a tiny TV screen from about 50 feet away, go right ahead and enjoy it. All right, let's take some calls here and see if people can guess who is the person who sent me this fundraising letter. It's Jake in Arcata up first. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Peter, what's up?
Okay, so on the outside of the envelope, it reads, on my first day in office, I'd end the war in Iraq. On my second day, I'd announce a plan for achieving national energy independence.
I have to say that's Hillary Clinton.
No.
Nope. And, oh, it's not.
No, it's not.
Interesting. Maybe Barack Obama?
It's not from Barack. One guess per caller.
All right.
We'll move on to the next line here, and it's Steve in Salinas. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon. Is it Dr. Bob Bowman?
No, but he's not a candidate for president, is he?
I think he gave a speech last night saying he was, but...
No kidding.
I guess he had been.
Well, hold on, Steve. You know what? You just are so prescient, because I have been meaning to mention that on tomorrow's program in the first hour, Bob Bowman will be here at my secret studio.
Cool.
And I know that he is speaking Thursday night in Santa Cruz at the old Holiday Inn.
Is it Thursday night in Santa Cruz? It's not tonight?
It is tonight, but I said Thursday night because some people hear this show later, and we try not to confuse them.
Well, where?
It's at the old Holiday Inn, 611 Ocean.
Old Holiday Inn, 611 Ocean.
In Santa Cruz, yeah. And then just so our North Coast listeners are not left out, Bob Bowman is speaking in Eureka Monday night, 7 p.m. at the Marina in the Warfinger Building. And that, again, is 7 o'clock on Monday night. And for our listeners up the coast in Coos Bay and in Portland, we'll try to get information for you on his other West Coast appearances. If you don't know Dr. Bob Bowman, he is a very powerful speaker. He is a leading advocate for the truth about 9/11. He served with distinction as an ace fighter pilot, I believe, in the Air Force. And he also ran for Congress in Florida in 2006. And he's a very interesting man. I'm looking forward to meeting him in person, and he'll be with us in the first hour tomorrow.
Okay, I saw him last night in Monterey, Carmel area, and it was just, we were just absolutely stunned, awestruck.
Yeah.
He just did an incredible job.
All right.
So it's the old Holiday what?
The old Holiday Inn Hotel.
Okay, 611 Ocean Avenue.
Right. All right, Steve.
Thanks a whole bunch.
Thank you. And let's see, Laird in Eureka, you're next here. Can you guess who sent me this fundraising letter?
Edwards.
No, it's not from John Edwards.
I'll be darned. That was his campaign thing just a couple days ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, thanks for trying. Okay, let's go to Rob in Eureka. Rob is online, too. Hello, Rob. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great, thank you.
Good. I'm going to say it's Bill Richardson.
Well, you're correct. And
well, it's either Bill Richardson or Mike Gravel. Who knows? But I know he doesn't have enough campaign funds to be sending anyone anything, so it had to be Bill.
Well, and it's amusing to me because I don't know how I get on these lists, but I guess they imagine I have massive amounts of campaign cash to contribute to them. Well, let's open this up, okay? Inside the envelope, there is the prepaid, no stamp necessary envelope to send my contribution. There's the Richardson for President matching contribution form. It says, if I put in some money, who's going to match it? Send it by June 30th. It'll be matched dollar by dollar and effectively doubled, but it doesn't say who's going to double the money.
Well, now that sounds like it's part of the national campaign financing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I didn't know that he didn't waive that, because I know a lot of the big name candidates did.
All right, inside here is a sticker, the kind it's a nicer bumper sticker because it's intended to be put on the inside window so it can't be defaced, and it's Get America Out of Iraq, Vote Bill Richardson in 2008. So I got that. Okay, and now we get to the letter. This is a pretty detailed package. Dear Peter B., this campaign has already changed me. And crisscrossing the country, speaking at campaign events and attending candidate forums, I can't help but be moved by the people I meet. The stories they tell only strengthen my resolve to stick with my campaign all the way to the end and win. And it goes on and on. I need your support, so he's asking for money. Funds will play a critical role. He raised $6.2 million in the first quarter in just 8 weeks. Gosh, he never really gets to the payoff here. Oh, we're in a crisis in Iraq. This is a shameful disservice to our troops. Of all the candidates, Democrat and Republican, only I have put forward a real pragmatic plan that uses tough diplomacy to find a regional solution that can lead to stability for Iraq and its neighbors. And I have the experience to know how to put it in practice. So are you
It'd be nice if we've heard it.
Are you persuaded by Bill Richardson?
I don't know.
I think he's a pretty interesting guy. He's a little more conservative on some issues. He has been endorsed by the National Rifle Association, which gives me some pause. But I think he's a really bright guy, and I really think that what he offers is diplomacy. And we've seen the Bush administration operate with very limited diplomacy in trying to promote democracy at the end of a gun barrel. And I think Richardson has successfully intervened in a diplomatic way in many conflicts around the world. And, you know, for a chubby guy from New Mexico, he is kind of surprising in a sleeper way. And I really think I would like to see him get more attention because he has sharpened his criticism of the war. As governor of New Mexico, he didn't have to vote to send American troops into Iraq or to sustain the occupation through the supplemental funding bills. And so he kind of had a pass on that. And as he surfaced to run here in the 2008 cycle, he has come up with a much crisper critique of the war. And as I read from the outside of the envelope, his position is that if it hasn't ended by then, on his first day in office in January of 2009, he would end the war in Iraq. I think that's a strong position, and I think that it compares favorably to the other Democrats. But I haven't seen him start to get much traction. And, to me, I think he is more experienced than Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama and John Edwards, for that matter, and that he can balance his experience as a domestic governor and his record in New Mexico, I think, is pretty good, with his international experience as the former U.N. ambassador and a kind of globe-trotting specialist over the last few years.
But not only that, but also his legislative record, because one time he was in the Congress, correct?
He served, I think, 8 years in Congress before he moved up. Let's see, he was Energy Secretary for Clinton and then was promoted over to the United Nations job.
Mm-hmm. I think having someone with such a vast array of credentials, and especially on the international front, is so important for our country right now. If we ever want to operate as, in the world community as good neighbors, it's going to take a strong president to really make that connection with other countries. Because it's going to take a lot of healing from where we are now.
Well, and I also think that while being energy secretary is a mixed portfolio because, you know, there are weapons and nuclear weapons that are under the dominion or the jurisdiction of the Energy Department, but in terms of our foreign oil addiction and the other issues related to developing alternative energy and reducing global warming through our greenhouse gas emissions, I think that he offers a lot, both domestically and internationally, and this is not an endorsement. I'm not at that stage where I think that he is the best of the crop, but I think he deserves to be heard, and I'd love to see him move up from the media's second tier in their coverage of this campaign.
Absolutely, and right now it seems like he's really the only one who is a second-tier candidate. But, you know, you got a hump in the front of first tier and a hump in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of the candidates have great ideas and stuff. And I think people need to recognize who's produced outcome in their record. And I think that Bill Richardson's one of the most experienced candidates we have.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, all right. Well, thanks for guessing correctly, and I appreciate your call today, Rob.
Thank you.
All right. That's Rob in Eureka. Lines available. Okay, take care. Lines available if you want to join in here. 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I have always said that I will listen to the requests of our commanders on the ground.
Mr. President, you did not listen. You continue to pursue a failed strategy that is breaking our great Army and Marine Corps. I left the Army in protest in order to speak out. Mr. President, you have placed our nation in peril. Our only hope is that Congress will act now to protect our fighting men and women.
come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs too. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
The Billy Sunshine Show. Billy Sunshine Show.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show. Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5. On AM 540. KRXA.
It's not a coincidence we're at the extreme left side of the dial.
Well, it's not a coincidence that we're doing traffic right now. Let's get to it. Get a little bit of talk about. And we're going to cruise right on over to, let's see, how about Carmel, northbound 1 up to Ocean Avenue. Three-vehicle crash blocking the light, the left lane. We do have injuries reported as well. CHP Fire Department there, as you might imagine. Watsonville, San Andreas Road, right at Academy Road, getting more of a problem there. It's a two-vehicle crash involved, and CHP is on the scene. No injuries, fortunately, in that particular one, which is always good news. And then let's take a look at northbound, southbound 17. We had an earlier problem there. It's all cleared up, so that is certainly some good news. And a quick look at another situation working. It's in, Sunnyvale, and it was a SIG alert being issued there. Northbound 85 at 280. Everything reopened there. This report brought to you by Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Interrupting all programs.
Radio from pirate satellites. Orbiting your living room. Cashing in the Bill of Rights. Human army surplus or refusing of the lights. This is Radio from pirate satellites.
Nine minutes in front of the hour, the Peter B. Collins Show from San Francisco, and John in Carmel Valley joins us. Hey, John.
Peter, did you pay much attention to the election we had down in here in Monterey County, those four measures that were all defeated?
Not in detail. I'm aware there was an election there.
Well, talk about strange and bizarre and futility flying from the top of a flagpole, because I'm guessing that there'll be a lot of wrangling and wringing of hands about, there already is, but there'll probably be a lot more about what to make of all four measures defeated, which means that a lot of people, I suspect, who didn't know what they were doing, didn't bother to find out much about it, just decided, gee, I'll just vote no.
And give us a quick sketch of what the measures were about.
I don't have them in front of me, but the basic measure was the Board of Supervisors a while back got in a big boil about, most of them have been pro-growth and for development. There's a large development that's been pending just north of Salinas.
Mm-hmm.
The voters had essentially said no to it. They turned around and voted for it. Measure A, which was the centerpiece of this, of the four, was essentially saying, here's what we'd like instead. And if you didn't like it, you could simply vote down the others. The others were all either quite a distance from it, pro-growth, or else they were sort of halfway measures toward one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you had quite a bit of variety. To do what the voters did, and I'm not saying, you know, I have no idea how many actually voted no on all four. That's what I'm really making my point about is,
mm-hmm.
why did they do that?
So the voters were in a negative mood.
There wasn't any reason to be that way other than, well, actually there was a flyer that the pro-A, if you voted yes on A, it was to say no to what the supervisors had done, which
mm-hmm.
was to go ahead and give the development, the big development. There were other issues about other developments. It wasn't just over the big development north of Salinas. It was, there were other things involved.
All right. Well, John, I got to scoot along because I got a bunch of other callers here, but I appreciate you bringing it up, and I'll take a look at the issues and see if I can learn a little more.
If you can get a few people on from either side, it would help clarify what's happened.
Okay, and John, you were awarded a DVD called Out of Balance a couple of weeks back, maybe even more on the show. The DVDs came in, and we're going to mail them out. So you and the other people who won them can look at your mailbox sometime in the next week, and there'll be something there from the Peter B. Collins Show, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
You bet. Now to Chris and Salinas. Welcome, Chris. You're on the air.
How you doing, Peter?
Good.
Hey, I just, as far as Bill Richardson, it's, if I can remember correctly, he's one of the founding members of DLC.
That's true.
And he's also could manage Los Alamos very well as energy secretary, and he destroyed the career of,
Wen Ho Lee. I'm not so sure about that because it was the FBI that bungled that investigation. I don't know that I lay that at Richardson's feet.
Google it, and he was instrumental in destroying that guy's career. And a judge basically dropped all the charges and apologized to him.
To Wen Ho Lee, that is correct.
And Richardson would never accept that and would never apologize to the guy how mm-hmm. he trashed his career.
All right, well, that's a good point. I understand it. And again, I'm not endorsing Richardson, but absent those issues that you described, I think he's an interesting figure. I think he's likely to wind up either Barack Obama or Bill Richardson, I think, is a strong contender for the vice presidential slot for the Democrats in 08. Thank you, Chris.
I say Edwards and Kucinich.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting matchup. Thank you. Now to Josh and Salinas. Welcome, Josh. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B., the quadrennial auction for the presidency is on.
Yes, it is.
And your fun solicitation from Bill Richardson on the air. And I just want to tell all your listeners, if you have a candidate you believe in, send him some money now because that's the only way his or her message is going to get out to the people, especially that marvelous 35% of the people who figure out their vote on the way to the poll on the basis of the ads they've seen.
Well, and also the way the media sizes people up, and it even trickles down now to how much face time a particular candidate gets on one of these so-called debates. And it's largely based on how much money they've raised and what their standing is in the polls. And those two are often linked. If you've got the money, as we see on the Republican side, Mitt Romney has been the big spender so far on television ads in some of the key primary states. And he is getting a nice bounce in the polls. And part of that is that the media takes him seriously, thinks he is a top-tier candidate. They give him more time on television, both during these joint appearances called debates and in the general coverage. And so you're right. If you want to support somebody like Dennis Kucinich, who, for my money, you know, has the clearest progressive positions on health care, on the war in Iraq, on domestic spying, and you know, a whole range of issues, this is the time that even a $10 contribution will help because it will show the breadth of his support, and it will help beef up the coffers there. Thank you, Josh. Let's get one final comment from Demetrio in Salinas. Welcome, Demetrio.
Hey, Peter, first-time caller.
I can tell. Thank you.
Hey, listen, the truth will set you free, and I give a lot of credit to you and the people that talk the truth. We need the truth all the time because lies are all over, and thanks to people like you and yourself, you guys are telling the truth. As far as Hillary Clinton is concerned, I think she's too closely related to corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
And in that respect, I don't think I would like to be part of her, part of someone supporting her. I think that...
I got it. Hey, Demetrio, me, myself, and I got to go because Trigger's here, and it's time to ride off into
okay.
the sunset. Thanks for listening. Call me again, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Trails to you.
I'm Peter B. Collins. This program produced today by Brian Urban. Thank you for listening. Visit peterbcollins.com for archive programs.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Snatched from the jaws of death, the immigration bill gets a second chance in the Senate. Late today, negotiators reached a deal to bring the measure back to the floor once the Senate completes work on the energy bill. The impetus apparently came from President Bush today when he offered assurance to critics who are concerned about border security.
I support an amendment that will provide $4.4 billion in immediate additional funding for securing our borders and enforcing our laws at the work site. Funding will come from the fines and penalties that we collect from those who have come to our country illegally.
Senator John McCain is one of the backers of the bill.
We need to secure our borders. I think we need a temporary worker program, and we need to give these people punishment, but also a chance to be a citizen of this country.
Critics say that chance amounts to amnesty. The judge who presided at the Scooter Libby trial ruled today that the former White House aide should go to prison sooner, not later. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Federal Judge Reggie Walton listened to a number of arguments. He paid particular attention to one of them. Libby's lawyers questioned the legality of the Justice Department's appointment of Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, the man who won the conviction against Libby. But in the end, the judge refused to allow the former top White House aide to remain free during appeals.
Will President Bush intervene with a pardon? Not likely, according to White House spokesman Tony Snow.
What the president has said is, let the legal process work itself out. We're not talking about, we're just not engaging in that right now.
He says the president feels terribly for Libby and his family. Ruth Graham, the wife of evangelist Billy Graham, died this afternoon after a long illness. She was 87.
This is Jim Crisula, North Carolina. Just 2 weeks ago, at the dedication of his library, a frail Billy Graham paid tribute to his bedridden wife of nearly 65 years.
More than me, she deserves to be here today. And I'm so glad that some of our friends are here that have known him.
In a written statement, Billy Graham says Ruth was his life partner and that he will miss her terribly.
They'd been married 64 years. There's more chaos than usual in the Middle East, where Hamas militants in fierce battles with the Palestinians' Fatah faction have taken control of Gaza. CBS News correspondent Richard Roth has more.
Confirming the obvious, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas declared a state of emergency